Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Oh, good night.
And some strawberries after taking one quarter bite of a donut.
It wasn't even a quarter.
Yo, Sife, your chin game right now is on fleek.
My chain game?
Chin.
Oh, chin game.
Your chin game is on fleek. So you realize that there was a few weeks ago, like a month ago, we did a Juan Epstein, who was here, and we mentioned your, when Scratch was here, and I mentioned your eating, and you were like, I don't want to talk about it. And it was like maybe you leveled off for a little while, and then since then, you've been on on diet fleek mode.
A lot of fleeking.
Yo, you're fleeking in these streets. You're out here. Are you on the scale or no?
Every day. Have to.
How is that you're so skinny, but you eat like a fucking fat pig every time we do Juan Epstein?
What do you mean?
Just chewing the entire one.
I'm eating 4 ounces of strawberries.
No, I know.
Hold on, I'm sorry. Do you know we're recording a podcast?
Are people just talking in the room?
Yeah, it sounds like a random conversation with us.
By the way, maybe that's because we work with people like Random Letters, who now randomly, Random Letters, while we're doing interviews in this room with Ebro and a guest and a full thing, he sits there with just an open thing of eggs, just eating. And I'm like, my man, it's that, you can smell that. And it's not, you shouldn't be that comfortable. Like, what's going on here? Not to mention, Random Letters is the dude who brought someone to the Christmas party yesterday who slapped someone.
What?
Yeah, we have a little more time here, Random Letters. Do you want to get on the microphone?
Yeah, Random Letters, step to the mic.
By the way, I want everyone to, let me describe Random Letters for everyone. He is the blackest and nerdiest of nerds.
Yeah.
I mean...
Hello.
You are the black nerd of the cinch.
Let me tell you how black he is. He's Nigerian.
Yeah, Nigerian, legit.
So he's black. Yep. Black. But for some reason, to try to counterbalance it, he went full white. Like,
white. The mean Comic-Con online. Whoop. Like, I'm talking about the things he gets excited about. This guy. Whew.
When he walks into the studio... The main studio goes, Sife, can I have a favor? Can I ask you a favor? I know it's going to be like the whitest comedian that's at Caroline's. Like,
I need tickets for Anthony Jeselnik.
Don't hate on Jeselnik. I like it. I love Jeselnik.
Yo, Gabs. Yeah? Can you open the shades to get some sunshine?
So,
thank you. Southside Jamaica Queens, what up?
All right. That was, you even take a hard place and make the shout out sound soft.
Do you live in Jamaica Queens?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Born and raised.
So
how do you survive over there? Where do you like?
I don't talk to anyone.
No one knows you.
Nope.
So you just go. How far is your house from the train?
10 minutes.
Like 10 blocks, or
it's like 20 blocks.
Do you have to walk through the hood?
Sometimes, depending on the bus I have to catch to get to the train.
And do you just, no one bothers you?
No, I just keep my head down.
You have any hood friends, like, or any like hood cousins or anything, or like?
Well, I'm Nigerian, so I have hood cousins. But
in Queens, or in London,
or Nigeria, for that matter.
I have lots of hood cousins in Nigeria.
How bad is Nigeria? Have you ever seen a dead body in the street?
I saw a dead body hanging from a light pole on fire in Nigeria when I was like 15.
All right,
yo, I'm on some Nigerian shit right now, yo. Wizkid,
do you mean not eating?
Wizkid?
No, I don't know that.
Sorry, did you hear what I just said?
No.
You said, I'm on some Nigerian shit right now. And I said, do you mean not eating?
Every day I'm on this shit.
What do you mean every day you're on this?
Guess we do the gym. You don't even know about Wizkid?
I honestly haven't listened to any Nigerian music made.
Is that British
after
Nigerian
1995?
It's called Afrobeats. Are you okay, Chelsea?
Yeah, I'm choking.
Okay. Thank you, Chelsea. Choke in another room. Thank you. That's an Afrobeats compilation or something?
No, that's this artist named Wizkid.
Okay. So, you never heard the story here.
Sorry.
What happened? You brought a friend last night. Who'd you bring? Is this a woman you're sleeping with?
No. This is a different girl.
Whoa! My bad.
I went with an old friend of mine that used to work at, like, I knew from, like, she used to be a friend, she used to date a friend of mine when he worked somewhere, but me and her have always been cool.
Okay, so?
Yeah, but I brought her, she got really drunk, and she hit, I just found out who it was, actually. It was Corin's boyfriend.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she, like, slapped this dude in the ear for no fucking reason.
Wait, what do you mean? Were they having an altercation, and then she slapped his ear, or literally just walked up to
him? She just didn't like his face.
We were standing online at the coat check, and...
To leave.
Uh-huh. And she just went, hit him in the ear. No reason, no warning, no nothing.
Have you called her yet?
She texted me this morning.
What'd she say?
Like, drunk?
She was like, I'm... Yeah, oh, yes. So drunk.
But like, oh, I like this guy's ear, and just flicked it or something?
No, she like hit it, like slapped him in the ear for no reason.
What's happening?
So what did the text say?
Hey, I'm so sorry about last night. And I was like, how much do you remember of what happened last night? And she was like, I don't remember anything after the train ride. And I was like, do you remember hitting this dude in the ear? And she was like, no. I was like, you also hit another dude when you went outside.
Yeah, after she had another fight inside.
Wait, how much of a fight was inside?
Yeah, how much of a fight was it?
It wasn't like a real fight. She hit him, and then he thought I hit him.
That's good.
And I was like, I didn't do like, dude. It was a mistake. I'm sorry. Just please, I'm sorry. He was like, if this wasn't my girl's thing, I would hit you. I would like straight up punch you in the face. And I said, that's completely understandable.
Anyone who says that will never do it anyway. So fuck him. But
yeah, but I was like, it's cool. Rock out.
Whew. Nah, I shouldn't yell at him.
He was upset. Yeah, he was. Yeah. So fuck him.
Sorry.
You're just defending random letters, and I was just nice of you. But
well, I'm just saying, this tough talk. Like, no one who's gonna hit you be like, yo, if this wasn't it, like, if you have an excuse why you don't hit someone, then you're
obviously the kind of guy who doesn't hit people, which is good. You shouldn't be embarrassed about that. It's good. Right. You're a guy who doesn't hit people.
Yeah,
but
true.
No need to make up a reason why you didn't hit someone.
And then after that. He said, like,
what,
he kept
he yelling
like,
or something.
Oh yeah, he was getting more agitated, right. And she was like, "Yo, why don't you hit him though? Hit him, and I'll hook off on you." And then I was like, I was like, "Yo, let's."
And she doesn't remember that.
She does not remember that.
That she was another person. Like, yo, here's the plan. Yeah, you go hit him, I'll hook off.
I mean, does she often get that twizzy?
No, I've never seen her that drunk before. And Dion is actually standing.
Dion, our general manager,
standing 3 feet from us. And he's like, guys, separate. And she's like still yelling. He's still yelling. And
none of those people are his employees, though.
Oh, no. Nope. All like,
non-employees. He's just a random guy saying separate.
Exactly. They don't even know.
They don't know who he is.
Now, by the way, speaking of Dion, Dion told me yesterday, you know, his brothers listen to this podcast regularly.
Uh-huh. His brothers? Really,
yes.
Like his from his lodge?
No, I assume he meant real life. I think you meant real blood brothers.
Oh, okay.
I think. And
not those guys that wear those red hats with the tassels.
Is he in a lodge membership?
I don't know.
Never know. And he said that his brothers told him, fans of ours basically dry snitched on us about the time when I did the podcast and you weren't here. And I was like, Sife's not here right now because there's a doomsday meeting going on. Apparently they went and told him that. I don't think he really cared though.
Somebody today hit me that left the station during that doomsday.
Yeah.
And they're now at another station. And they said, I said, hey, I meant to tell you, congratulations, you know, making a move. He goes, yeah, I didn't want to be part of the I didn't want to see the Titanic sink. I was like, oh, that hurt.
Wait, what do you mean? But he was part of it, I thought.
Huh?
I thought you said he was part of it.
No, he's talking about the whole station is the Titanic.
Oh.
And we're sinking.
Man. I don't know if that's true. I don't think we're sinking. I think the Titanic's still afloat. We're not the Titanic. We're the Titanic's sister boat, which is known as the Queen Mary.
Queen Mary.
Yeah. You learn on this podcast.
I know that.
Random letters. It's been really nice hearing from you. You got really comfortable. I feel like you should start a Black Nerd podcast.
I've been thinking about it.
You have?
Yeah.
I think you really should
do it. Black Nerds is
I love
new
podcasts.
Shit.
Black Nerds is popping. You love podcasts.
I have actually started listening to you guys' podcast, even though I'm mostly in the room anyway.
Really? You've gone back and you've listened more than Sife has then, for sure.
Is it sound different when you listen back to it later?
It does.
It does, right? I'm sure. Living it is different than hearing it.
100%. 100%. You know what I wish we had, Sife? Why? I just don't understand. You just yelled at them for talking, and you're just slapping a dish. Why'd you give it back to him?
It was on the floor.
So I wish that our listeners though would make songs the way people make songs for Howard and Robin.
You just need to ask.
Like, do you think there's someone out there who can make a song for Random Letters, the Nigerian Black Nerd? Like, I would love a song for him.
Yeah.
I would like a Trine. Thank you. I would like a Trine, the True Lesbian song. I would
the
like
True Lesbian.
Yeah, Trine.
Why do you duck under that camera and then just walk past that camera?
Good
What's
point.
The point?
Yo, that was a good question.
I tried to duck, but
She ducks that camera and then just walks past the other one.
Oh my gosh. Saif, I was in Los Angeles over the weekend.
I heard. How was that?
I mean, you know, it was all fleet. Not really. It was nice. I had a Jaguar the whole weekend.
Nice.
Let me tell you something about that.
Why'd you have that? You rented it?
No, because ICM represents Jaguar.
Oh.
So they can like get their talent Jaguars.
Right.
And so I drove it. And I will say, fleet.
Yeah.
It was on fleet. It was nice. I've never had a sports car, like a true, fast, good-looking, like modern-looking sports car.
Yeah.
It was pretty tight. It's a little small. And there's no back seat.
Yeah, I can't do the small cars.
But I will say, but the front seat's comfortable. Mad comfortable in the front.
Yeah.
There's just nothing else.
For me. Every time I go to L.A., I get like a smaller car. I hate it. Last time I went to L.A., I got an Explorer. It was amazing.
Wait. It was amazing?
Yeah.
Oh, good. You're saying before that, you were getting small cars.
Yeah.
Why? Just to be cheap at when renting a car?
Yeah, it's like, you know, they're like, hey, you want a convertible? I'm like, yeah, fuck it. I'll try it. And one time the guy, he recognized me. He was like, yo, I got to get you a Benz, same price. I was like, fuck it. I'll take a Benz. I was like, this fucking sucks. I couldn't even get in and out of it. Like,
wait, besides, Benz aren't that small.
No, nah, it was a small.
Oh, it was like a sporty one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it felt too small?
But still, even Big Benz is like, the way it's constructed is, I don't like it. It's too low. I hate climbing in, like, down to cars.
This, the locks, the doors on the Jaguar, when you hit the button, there's nothing on the door.
Yeah.
If you don't have the button, and then you hit the button, it's like, zzz, and the thing comes out, the handle comes out. Shit's tight. When I would like floor it out of a light, I could make myself almost nauseous.
Damn,
it was that fast.
That's nice.
It was super douchey, man. Like I felt like a real rich douchebag. But you know what?
I will be one day.
I know. God, I pray I will be. But it was cool. Nothing too crazy happened. Didn't go to Miami for Art Basel, say?
No.
Were you doing comedy every night instead?
This weekend. I don't know. It's all a blur.
Yo, didn't you just take a trip?
Or was it Jamaica?
Yo, what happened in Jamaica?
Nothing. Rest and relaxation. Oh, killed it.
What?
Killed it.
What'd you do?
Deleted about 5,000 songs out
what?
Of iTunes.
Yo.
Murdered it. Was there with like 17,500.
Okay. And what'd you cut to?
Came back with 12,500, yo.
Yo,
killed it.
You out here.
You know what it's like to delete songs from your iTunes just by a pool that looks over the ocean? It's amazing. It's amazing.
Was your wife into it?
Yeah.
The deleting? Yeah. Will you tell her? Be like, yo, babe, you're not going to believe what I just deleted.
Bae.
You don't?
I don't believe in the bae.
Oh, I'm so anti-bae. Why are you anti-bae?
Why shorten a word that's already one syllable?
Why? It doesn't make sense.
And it sounds stupid.
I couldn't agree more.
Sorry,
I'm so anti-bae.
Sorry, kids.
Are we just too? Oh, we're just old, yo. Yeah. I don't get it. How? Okay, here's.
I'm all for slang. I love slang.
No, me too. But how the slang makes sense?
Please.
For example, here's a good question. How do you feel about the song Coco?
I like it.
Do you love it?
For the reaction it gets in a club, yes.
But like, do you understand? I don't fully understand. Like, I get why it's cool, but I don't get why it's like the thing. I don't get it.
Yeah, I get it.
What is
it's
it?
It's super, super catchy.
I'm in love with the Coco.
The streets are simple, man. It's not complicated. The streets are simple.
I guess I overthink it.
You overthink simple shit, simple hook, simple verse, melodic.
I don't even think I have it on here. The baking soda
that's
part.
That's my boy. I tell you about Genesis before.
Oh, no. You've been rocking him for a long time. There's something about it. I don't fully understand it. I'm not mad at it. I'm not like beefing.
I'm in love with the Coco. Yeah, it's like he's saying it in a funny way. It's like.
Yeah, he says the word weird. That's a big part of it. Are you into Ray Shremmer?
Yeah, I love Ray Shremmer.
Pretty great. I got to tell you, though. And I love Ray Shremmer. Still haven't improved my feelings on the name.
No, name sucks.
And do you know how? And the album title?
No, what's the album title?
Srem Life.
What's that?
Ray Shremmer. Srem Life. Why? Why? We got to come up with something
else.
Ray Shrimmer.
You know, it's ear drummers, right?
Ear drummers. So the shrim part of...
Is drum? No, drums?
I don't get it.
Drummers. It's their ears.
I don't understand. I'm still not 100% there. I'm still not 100% getting this.
It's not... What's a tribe called Quest? What does it mean?
I know, but you can pronounce the words. A tribe called
What's
Quest.
What's Wu-Tang? Is that a real word?
Wu-Tang.
It's Chinese.
Super easy to say.
What's wrong? You can say Ray Shrimmered.
Can you? It took me a long time to get Shrimmered right.
If you
I was
just
saying
read
Strimmer.
It once, you read English, don't you?
Kind
of. You put letters in front and back of other letters to form words.
Yeah, but you see, even Uchenna, I call them random letters because it's easier for me. Hey, Trinae. Will you go up front and see if these guys are here, if anything's going on?
Yeah, this is pushing everything back. Yeah, they're fucking everything up. I hate
now,
fucking rap.
You haven't ever known Primo to be late previous to this, have you? So I saw, I went to Cali Christmas, Sife. Which is interesting. Have you gone, I know you've seen Power 106 people when you go to LA.
Yeah.
But have you gone to like a big of Power 106 event?
No.
It's an interesting situation.
Why?
I don't know, because like we're part of the company, but we're a different station. I don't know. I can't explain it. I have fun. I do have fun.
What is it? What was it? A concert?
Yeah, it was a concert at the Forum. J. Cole, Chris Brown, Tinashe, whose relationship is over. Me and her.
Why?
She gave me a fucking side hug, bro. Side hugged me. In the worst way. Don't just roll your eyes at it. I'm serious. See, I went in. We had a good conversation. I know her pretty well. Like, decently well for a random new artist. You know, for a new artist, I know her decently well. And then when I go to say goodbye to her, I assume I'm going to get a full frontal hug. And she hits me with
you mean the one arm around from the... Oh.
And then you push heads. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah, that's nasty.
Isn't that bad?
Yeah, that's nasty.
It's reasonable to be upset about that. I just don't know how we move forward after this.
Was her man there or something?
No. Get this. I introduced her to my agent, Dipperstein. He instantly got the full hug. But when I got the goodbye, I got
the
side
hug.
He's
like a little cute guy, though.
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Sai.
He's like a little, you know, like a little... I want to hug him. He's like a little munchkin.
Girls actually think Dipperstein's like hot in a tiny person way. It's very sweet. Whatever.
I'm giving up, man.
Good, because you're married and your life's over.
No, not on that. I just
understanding.
Understanding, yeah, or trying to understand. Giving up on trying to understand.
What have you been doing these days, though? Can you feel the people? We don't see each other every day. You do the afternoon show. So you think?
All right. Yeah, I show up for work.
You show up here and they let you get on.
Six talk breaks in 4 hours.
All right. You do six little talk breaks. Pretty nice.
Quick.
And then, what do you do that keeps you out all night, every night?
Here's the problem. Nobody came as of yet. Here's the problem with the afternoon show.
Talk about it.
I'm doing so much of my like office work during the afternoon show.
That sounds good.
That the talk breaks annoy me because they interrupt me going through my emails.
Oh my God, it's a shame.
Like, I'm getting a good rhythm here.
Boom.
Getting a good rhythm.
Emails.
Delete. Download this song. Answer back this person. I'm rolling. Like, you know, when you get in that zone, you answering emails, and then Drewski's like, yo, 1 minute. And I'm like, for what? He's like, you got to do this contest. Ah!
Fuck. I'm on a streak.
I'm doing good, man.
Oh, that is annoying. That is a hard part. I never thought about the difficulties of the job.
It's hard.
So I asked you recently if you're spending any time at home, and you were like, no, less than before. My question is, what do you do?
No, in the mornings I'm home. I'm just alone.
You're home by yourself?
Yeah.
So you wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
What time are you waking up these days?
I wake up no later than 8 every day.
Really?
Yeah.
By choice, your alarm goes off?
No, by choice.
I mean, you set an alarm, though?
Sometimes, but I pretty much get up early. I always got up early my whole life. It's just that...
Morning show was earlier.
Yeah.
But you always work a 7:30-ish kind
always. Of- Always. Even when I DJed the tunnel back in there, I always got up 8, 9. 9 if I was like, oh, I'm going to sleep in.
All right, so you get up around 8. Make yourself a little egg whites?
Nah, I drink water.
Just drink water?
Yeah. Can't eat for 2 hours.
You
get up, you go down the scale, first thing. Nothing. I mean, you take a whiz first.
Wizzo.
I just feel like that extra couple ounces of whiz is going to fuck up my scale.
No, you got to get it off. You got to do that.
Jump on the scale.
Okay.
Drink the water. Make my little water formula.
What's your water formula?
It's the drops that the doctor gave me.
That puts in, so some special stuff in there?
Yeah, it's a detox and I forgot the other one. Whatever, but it's custom. That's what the thing about this diet is. It's custom made for you. They adjust it to, like, they scan your whole body and they see where your, like, hormone levels might be off or your all types of shit. So the drops are zapped with, like, frequencies.
Okay.
Yeah, it's so crazy shit.
Sounds bonkers.
Yeah, zapped with frequencies. And the certain frequency that they send to the drop is made for what is wrong with you. So you can't just give your drops to someone else. It won't work. And then
okay, so you have your water with drops. Yeah.
And then I usually, like, either I make a tape for the late night show, or I clean up.
Okay, a little
cleaning. Usually throw on, like, a little stand-up special or something.
Okay, not bad. A little Netflix.
Or I...
you watch Bill Burr yet? The new Bill Burr is out there.
No, I didn't watch
Bill Burr
yet. Okay. I saw the advertisement. And then I start writing. I write.
What are you writing?
Like comedy
jokes.
Yeah.
Actual stand up jokes.
Yeah, I need to start writing more, like, sketches and stuff. But
so then that takes us to what time?
If I stay home to all the way to, like, 2 o'clock.
Oh, you have days where there's nothing before 2 o'clock.
Sometimes
it does,
yeah,
happen.
Yeah.
Other days you have, like, a lunch or a meeting of some variety.
Yeah, I try to keep Monday and Tuesday. But usually I make a tape, so that's like 8 to 10.
So does that mean your turntables are fully set up in your house now?
No, I got the Pioneer SDJ thing.
You just make it off that?
DJ Scratch.
And what about your mic? You have a mic?
Yeah, it's a mic.
You have a mic too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I stole your swag.
You did?
Yeah.
Which mic?
No, just doing it in the crib.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, and then I got into work.
Then you come into work, and then what happens when you leave work? 7 o'clock?
6:30.
Well, you got, oh yeah, enough's on.
No, he's off at 6.
Okay, so you wrap up your work day.
Yeah. Well, I wrap up my emailing and to-do list, my tweet scheduling, my Instagram club posts and stuff like that. And
the random meme ones you do that have, yeah, like, you're really into it. Anyone follows Cypher Sounds, at Cypher Sounds on Instagram, really into pictures of the toilets here at Hot 97.
Oh, yeah, there's been some lately, but I don't do it.
You're big on Hot 97.
It's always a picture of the toilet paper dispenser empty and a roll of toilet paper on the sink.
Exactly.
Why don't people just put it on the dispenser?
I don't know. I do. I pretty regularly put toilet paper on dispenser, but not
people
always.
Ask me, like, after I take the picture, do you put it on dispenser? Of course I do.
He's not an animal. He is not an animal. And then where's the first place you go after you get off work? Home.
It depends. Never home.
Okay.
Comedy usually. Stand up somewhere.
Right away. Early. Out the gate.
Yeah, that's the thing. Stand up is like 7 to midnight. Roughly in those ranges.
Yeah, I guess there's different clubs that are rocking every time. At different times. Every day.
Yeah, every day. There's somewhere you could do stand up every single day.
Okay, you got to tell the people on the iconic Chris Rock Questlove episode, which we got a tremendous amount of love for.
Oh yeah, thank you guys, thank you.
That was it was very, very nice. On that, you and Chris Rock kind of kicked it a little bit about him helping you out.
Yeah.
Have you guys had any communication? No communication.
I spoke to his guy. His guy hooked me up to see the movie.
Okay.
But hasn't helped me with the seller yet.
So we still are not in the cellar.
Yeah, but I don't think I would want to be just yet.
You don't think you're ready yet?
Yeah. Because if you don't do well, then it's hard to... When I'm ready in 6 months, it's going to take another year.
What about... Do you think you could ask Chris Rock's guy if he could help me fuck Rosario?
Yeah.
Why whenever we...
Well, I hit the guy and he was like, yo, you're my favorite personality on Hot 97.
He said about you?
Yeah.
That doesn't help me.
So... No, but since he's Spanish...
So you could be like, yo, listen, Rosenberg.
Is that why he likes me?
Why?
Is it just some Puerto Rican shit?
Maybe. Let's be honest about it.
Fuck.
But also, have you ever noticed that whenever we mention having sex with, like, a celebrity or any kind of sex on the show, we always say the verb angry? Have you noticed that?
No.
Like I think you should fuck her. We always say it with a certain bit of anger. It's a little bit strange. I don't know why I said that about Rosario. It would be loving sex. I don't know why I said it. I have to fuck Rosario Dawson like that. No one needs to say it like that.
You really want to smash her? She's not all that to me.
Oh, I was such a fan of her in He Got Game. I think she has a great rack.
He Got Game. Ugh.
Didn't like that movie?
I just watched it recently. I bought a whole bunch of movies that I should own, and I watched that movie. Sucks balls.
You didn't like anything about it? I mean, I think there's things that are stupid about it. There's things I like about it, too.
What?
I don't know. I love the scenery. I love how it's shot. I mean, Ray Allen's an amazing actor.
I mean, I don't need... He's that a kills basketball player, right?
Yeah.
What did he play for back then?
Back then, he was like fresh out of UConn. He might have been on Seattle back then or something. Or Milwaukee.
Why cast him in the movie? Get an actor.
Why? I don't understand.
It didn't do anything for the story, and his acting was fucking...
terrible.
Next to Denzel, and it made Denzel look bad.
Yeah, what was the point of that? That was so crazy. Yo, listen, let's talk about it. Spike Lee does some crazy, crazy things.
I also watched some, what's the other Spike one? The jazz one. Mo Better Blues?
How was that?
Sucks.
You didn't like Mo Better Blues either.
Yo, listen.
I like Mo Better Blues.
The movies are, Brandon Vega is his name.
Okay, who's that?
That sounds Spanish, right? Chris Rock's guy.
Oh, okay.
Those Spike Lee movies were definitely art films in the 90s. But a lot of them have not stood the test of time.
What's your favorite Spike movie?
Do the Right Thing.
Of course. That one did.
Did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's straightforward, you know?
Well, also, Do the Right Thing's weird and feels like a play.
It's and like racism, it yeah. Racism hasn't gone anywhere.
No, racism is still popping.
But jazz is not popping.
Jazz.
Yo, Mo Better Blues sucked, yo.
You really didn't like it at all. I liked
the way,
Mo
like,
Blues.
I guess back in the day when we used to watch those Spike Lee movies, the way he edited the scenes and all that shit, it was amazing at the time. And watching it now, it's like, yo, you could watch a J.J. Abrams movie.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a little bit weird.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest though, I think it's quiet for movies right now. Quiet. I'm not that into movies. I'm just so into TV. By the way, living life today is hard.
Why?
Because my wife and I are mid-season 4 Sons of Anarchy,
mm-hmm.
and the finale was last night.
Oh yeah!
So I'm just like walking around with like my eyes closed and my ears
covered.
Season 4,
what's happening?
Where are you?
I finished 6. I didn't watch the new season.
You didn't
watch
7. All right, so season 4, and you're still, don't say anything still.
Oh.
But
just wondering where it's
we're at. Like a week off. We've been out of it for a week because I went to L.A. This one's our full-on together show. I mean, mm-hmm. we watch every episode together. Mm-hmm. Let's see. They're getting in. They're into drugs. They're just getting into drugs.
Right. The cartel.
Yeah, and it's just starting to get crazy. The last episode. The last episode. No, don't say
Machete?
It. Yes.
Okay.
He's in it. And the last episode, I think, was I can't even remember. I was about to say it and I lost it. But like, that's where it's at. It's like the drug shit's going left.
Why are they doing the drug thing?
How do they get there?
Yeah.
Because, well, it depends who you believe.
Yeah. Well, Jax is just trying to make more money.
Jax has told Tara he's trying to leave, so he's like, I need to stack
he's
whatever
trying to
stack
I can. Up, right.
So when, what's his face? Well, God, I really haven't watched it in a long time. You know, the other main guy.
Clay.
When Clay comes to them and like, this is what's going to be, instead of resisting it, he's like, nah, we should do it. Oh, you know what else? You know what happened last episode? Other dude wanted to vote Clay out, and when they're about to have the meeting, the drive-by happens.
Oh, right.
And shit gets crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I have a question. Without saying anything that happens,
yeah.
Do you feel with where you're at the end of season 6 that it's gotten over the top and crazy?
Yeah, it's over the top.
But is it still good? Or are you seeing it through now? Because
I like the show, and I'm going to see it through, but it definitely like... It's a little like, oh, come on already, bro.
Okay. That's what everyone seems to say.
Yeah.
But I'm
going to watch it, finish
no,
it.
No, all the way. But the thing is, I will tell you, though, everyone told me I would feel that way about, everyone was like, oh, when they got to, you know, you say the word adjace all the time, like the not real version or something. And everyone's like, oh, it becomes adjace to itself.
Yeah.
Season 3 when they go to Ireland. Yeah. I liked them in Ireland.
No, I
liked season
Ireland.
2. I liked Ireland.
I liked Ireland a lot.
The only thing that was super adjace was the intro theme song that they made Irish.
Oh, yeah, the Irish.
Why'd they do that? Yeah. We're in Ireland for a while, so we're doing a different theme song. Come into this place.
Good idea.
Why though?
Good idea. Just didn't the execution.
You didn't need to do that. What's up, Trinae? Anyone here? Yes.
Hi.
Yes. What's happening?
What's up?
How are you? Hey, I was waiting for someone who was one of you guys to walk in the room.
Premier.
Primo.
How are you?
What's up, man?
What's up, my brother?
Hey, guys.
Talking nonsense.
Sorry, we're doing Juan Epstein. We started already. We figured I never get to see this guy, so we wanted to get some quality time first before you guys even got here. Make yourselves comfortable. Have a seat. The great DJ Premier and Royce the 5'9 are here.
Oh, wow. Premier's wearing a Carhartt jacket. That's strange.
You've never seen that before, have you? A bulky, warm winter Carhartt jacket. Royce, though, I don't know if you've seen Royce, Sife, since he made his Bad Meets Evil money, but it's only these leather jackets. Oh, yeah, it's just the slick butter soft.
Those 1,200 motorcycle leather jackets.
Exactly. That's how you live right now, Royce?
What are you guys talking about?
that jacket's clean.
Sons of Anarchy, and you walk in with a motorcycle jacket.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Perfect timing. You watch Sons of Anarchy, Royce?
You know what? I haven't watched it yet. I heard only great things about it.
I don't want to
catch it in the middle of nothing.
No, I want to catch it from the beginning.
I'm a binge watcher anyway, though. Yeah. So
it's about to end.
We don't say any words out loud, but because I'm season four, he's season six, but it ended last night. So this is the time to really avoid any headlines.
Sorry to even bring it up.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're going to just stop mentioning this altogether. I was going to say one more thing, Sife, before we get to the guest, the men of the hour. First of all, Sife, didn't you recently say to Gabby?
12 o'clock shoot is gonna be pushed back because everything's late.
I'm about to go to my job.
All right, handle your business, guys.
Is that a jab at blacks?
Huh? At black people?
Because everything's
so your friend blacks? Black or black people?
Oh yeah, black is here too.
It was all black people.
Black and the incomparable Adrian Young is here too.
Oh, that's Adrian Young.
Yeah.
What's Adrian Young? I didn't realize he was doing the promo with you guys too.
Yeah, we do the full package.
Oh, Adrian Young, what up, man? How are you, man? I love your work. I'm a big fan. Sife, so I was going to say real quick before we get to these guys. I ran into Stevie Wonder's daughter the other day at Supper Club.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'm going to say about Supper Club. It's the worst place on planet Earth. It should be banned and closed permanently.
Why would you go there?
Because my
boy... do strange things.
No, only because my boy Quincy. You know Quincy, Diddy's son? I knew he was your boy. Yeah, he's my boy. He's a great kid. Nicest kid. If I was that kid, I'd be the biggest asshole. You couldn't even talk to
me. Why is he your
me.
Boy? How's he your boy?
He's friends with Amber, and I started talking to him on my own. Like, he's just a nice kid. Friends with my brother. Like, he's friends with everyone. He's just around a nice guy.
I saw him at the Jay-Z Beyonce concert. I didn't really get to talk
nicest
to him.
Nicest kid in the world. Anyways, I just hate Supper Club. You shouldn't have a VIP section that you just stand on what feels like a soft bedspread. And people just stand there. I don't fucking understand it. All right, guys. Primo, I haven't talked
Wait,
to you.
You didn't finish the
Stevie Wonder story?
Yeah.
That's too long a story. I was just going to say, like, I mean, Primo could probably identify with this, but, like, when I meet someone who's the child of someone I admire that much,
yeah.
I just instantly, like, she's just figuring out her music right now. Like, she's a musician. Yeah. She just graduated from Spelman, and she's figuring out her career. And she's a really cool kid, seemed really nice. And I wanted to offer her, like, yo, if you want me to, you know, blah, blah, blah. But she's also really pretty. And I just hate, there's nothing worse than being like, if I could do anything to help you in any way. And I was, like, stoned at the same time, so I probably, like, overstated. I'm like, I'm married. I'm not trying to be weird. But if you want any help, I'd, like, be happy to help you. And then I end up just feeling like a fucking pervert.
Yeah, you're a fucking perv.
Yeah, and then I jerked off about it later, so it kind of turns out it was true.
She's hot?
She's pretty cute, yeah. But, I mean, I wasn't like that.
All right.
No, I'm serious. Anyways, guys, I'm super excited. Sife, you haven't heard this album yet, have you?
No, I haven't heard it yet.
So, I guess... Royce's manager, Kino, called me a while back and made me get out of my house on a weeknight, which you know is unacceptable. It's because you wanted me to hear the new album from Royce da 5'9 and DJ Premier, in which DJ Premier samples all Adrian Young music, who is the talented gentleman who's also sitting here. And I got to tell you... Why do you do that? Why, which part?
Sample all Adrian Young music?
Because we're dope like that. No, me and Sife go back to when he had to learn how to turn a turntable on. So, he found the on switch.
You go back to when he first took a picture with you and brought a cassette cover with him.
There you go. No, but it was actually an idea. Mike Haran, who I know it's Haran, but I'm used to Haran. But anyway, Mike Haran, who actually works at Shady now, a longtime friend of ours, had suggested an idea to do a Slaughterhouse EP, 5 songs, and to put out like as a mixtape while Slaughterhouse finished up their new album, and just to stall and, you know, put some space between it while they touched up the LP. And they wanted to get into a producer, which I wasn't the first one that was sought after to do it, but one of the ones that they named was me, and where they ran music and a couple other people, to sample only Adrian Young's music and have them spit over his tracks, but still take his instrumentals and just dice it up however you want to dice it up.
Right.
So that led to just time constraints and things of that nature, so it came down to the window getting smaller with opportunity and all of our schedules to get it done. So Royce was like, yo, I still want to do it. Would you do it if me and you just do it? Me and Royce's relationship is already great. We've always made bangers. So it was a no-brainer to just say yes. I was familiar with Adrian, but not to the degree of all the other albums he had done, like the Delphonics album and Something About April. I finally got it right. I knew Black Dynamite, but I didn't know he did the music. Mm-hmm. And then I knew...
Wait, the movie Black Dynamite?
Yeah.
Oh, you did that music?
Yeah. No, that shit was
Bravo.
Awesome. What'd you say?
He said Bravo. Look at Simon. I love that.
No, that the music to that is... I mean, the movie's kind of like a small movie, so it didn't get the exposure it was supposed to, but the music is...
It's fucking
amazing.
Awesome.
Amazing.
And he in the 12 Reasons to Die with Ghostface.
And you used that sample.
And that's what I first heard was the 12 Reasons to Die, because, you know, I do my radio
show. Okay.
Whenever I get new music, you know, I always... And I'm a Ghost fan, but just any new music that comes through my pipeline, I always listen to it and check it out. So I still wasn't familiar with what the Adrian Young Ghostface relationship and the connection was. And then I was seeing the social media with Ghost doing the show with all the antics and everything on stage, and I was still like, well, what does Adrian Young do? But come to find out, he is the overall music of, you know, what's happening. So from there, when I met Adrian and we clicked and it just got into, you know, just the meeting of the minds, then I was more into to doing it where I sample only one artist, because I've never done that before, which took a lot of pushing from Royce, which I thank Royce for that, because I still was just like, nah, let me just do it the way I do it, and let me dig for my records and find my sounds, loop everything up, do what I do. Royce's like, yeah, but this is something you've never done. Just one artist, just his catalog, make your beats.
Well, I want to tell you this, and I was thinking about this when I first heard, because I didn't know if there's a way to say this without it somehow sounding belittling to your other work. Mm. But, I mean, in my opinion, I think this is the best work you've done in several years. I think it sounds different. It sounds new. It sounds still like classic you.
Yeah.
Not like you're trying to reinvent or something. Mm-hmm. It's just, let me put it this way. I think even Cypher Sound's gonna like this album.
What?
I think even
that's
Cypher,
a stretch.
I know
that's a stretch.
It's a stretch.
I don't know.
It's a stretch.
How many songs?
Well, hold on. Let's start like this.
9 songs.
Oh no, it's too much. It's too much.
See.
Like Roy said, this album is 35 minutes. It's as long as your favorite sitcom or something.
It's as short as it could be, bro. Sorry.
That's the best you could do. Yeah. All right, Sife. Let's start like this. You don't have headphones, but you can. Oh, you do. Let's see. Let's start like this and see if Sife even likes this. Because I'll be honest, Primo, he's very picky about his DJ premiere.
You know. Sife knows. You know. I'm the king of evil looks when I need to get
this. Oh yeah, it's the biggest record in Germany ever.
What do you mean?
When I first started going to Germany, me and Camillo back in the day, we would rip, right? Play everything, kill the club. Then like, yo, I feel bad for the next DJ. He's nothing to play. He would get on and play this record, and the club would explode.
Really?
Explode.
Royce, have you had a good run in Germany?
I got good Germany memories.
Yeah?
I don't know if I would pinpoint Germany, though.
Or Europe. This Europe, this
Europe
record.
Period,
yeah, Europe period. Europe
club
period.
Of Europe period.
But this
that
song...
Full, that and Full Clip on my biggest record.
Really?
And
wait, did you... Well, there was a Method Man record, too, that was... No, you didn't do that, though. There was like a... No, there was like a... I'm talking about in Europe. Like a random record, like a... A Method Man. I feel like it was Judgment Day.
Something off of Tikal 2, Judgment Day.
Well, for my gigs, it's definitely Nas is like Boom, and that's how I close my show.
Yeah,
because when Boom comes on, they
that's it.
They,
this Europe. Yeah, that shit
to this day. To this day.
To this very day. Yeah. That and Full Clip and Nas is like. Yeah.
Did you guys know each other at all before this song? Before Boom?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where did the relationship begin?
Tommy Boy, when we did my friend. That was the first record we did.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that. On top for what on Tommy Boy?
I had my first deal was with Tommy Boy.
Did anything come out?
Rosenberg's losing his hip hop.
Hold on. What do you mean though? Nothing came out. The album didn't come out.
Wait, what? Sorry, what?
That song ended.
He was saying how we started. He told him we on Tommy Boy.
They met when Royce was on Tommy Boy, right?
That, and he's supposed to be the king of the underground.
I think I have some of those songs, but
he's supposed to have underground knowledge, and you didn't know that.
Don't try to take away your compliment. You call me king of the underground.
I think I had some of those songs.
So what happened? What year were you signed to Tommy Boy? During the Black Label era? Was that what we're talking about?
99, 2000.
Okay, so yeah, like around the time that they had like Defari and like shit like that.
De La was still there.
De La was there.
Defari.
Natural Elements.
Natural
Elements.
Royce
Everlast. Premier Records and Royce Neptune's Records.
Yeah.
You do from back then.
That was Tommy Boy. Yo, they were actually mad that I did 5 Pharrell Records. You're giving all your budget money to the Neptunes.
And I
was just like, yo, I really like their beats, man. Like, I really like their beats.
They didn't get it.
Shows what you know.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
And then, so y'all met then, and you. How did you meet? Like, just you wanted to work with Primo? Did you just look up to him?
It was a dream of mine to work with Prim. And the first thing I did when I got the budget was try to have the A&R guy reach out to him. And it just so happened that, what was my man's name?
Mr. Dave.
Yeah, Mr. Dave was working with us, and he was like, I know Prim. And I was like, yo, can you get a hold of him? And that was like one of the first songs I recorded. I went to him, Alchemist, and Dre first.
And the first one you guys did was called?
It was called My Friend.
My Friend. God, why do I not like remember this song? I feel like such an asshole.
You probably know it if you hear it.
Primo, stop shaking your head at me. I have to know.
It's not like a classic. It's not like a classic or nothing, man. Don't worry about it, Peter.
No. I need to know. Oh, no, hold on. I have it right here.
It's very obscure. Oh, man.
Oh, I know the song. Yeah, of course I did. I played this song in college radio. I forgot of this. Sife hates it already, I know.
Stand for me, we like brothers. Over the years, we've grown close, just like one another. I got a lot of friends, none as loyal as him. I give a lot of love, none as spoiled as him. The one friend you
so, but this ended up. So this never ended up coming out, though.
No.
And did you guys know at that point there was going to be more like this? You guys were going to work together more?
Yeah, I liked the way Royce spit, and then he did the 50 MCs with Tony Touch, and. You know, he showed the variety of flows and rhyme styles and lyrics, so that's why I was like, all right, doing another one is not going to be difficult at all. And we went and did Boom.
You know, I'll tell you one of the worst thing about Boom.
What?
That's not the original.
Remember that cycle they added the chorus to it?
Nah. Listen,
you remember that? Yeah, they added the chorus.
We got so we got forced to add a chorus. This is what happens, label executives, if you're listening. This is what happens. Can you play that again, Peter?
Yeah, okay, type, you got to hear this. You haven't heard this?
Nah, I don't remember that.
The same in ways. We both speak with our hands in dangerous ways. Rap now is a circus of clowns.
Is it a different version?
It starts out normal. Okay. It's fine.
It starts out normal.
You're like, oh, I like this. It's on a big label, but it's still cool. Cool. I guess that I just leaked
it. Boom. Somebody better duck or run. Somebody better watch out because he's about to blow on
is that Khalees?
No. No, that's who was that? It was somebody in New York though that did that. I remember cutting it in New York. This is what happens, label executives, when you force your artists to do things that they don't want to do. They forced me to put a hook on there, and I wasn't. I was like, yo,
was
the song is.
It was Tom
Silverman?
Don Einar's good people. Though.
Yeah, he good people.
And he gave us a fat check.
He's good people, but he should not have forced me to put a hook on that record. You should listen to the artist more.
Yeah. Well, sometimes artists are crazy, right? Like, listen, I was with an artist last night who I'm good friends with, who's amazing, and her name's Loreanna May, and there's this one song that she has for her album that I think has a chance to be a real big pop record, and the part she hates of the song is the chord progression that every time I played it for someone is the part that everyone gets open off of. But it's the most pop. It's like a blatantly pop chord progression. And so she naturally is just like, I don't like it. So there is a certain time when I think artists can be crazy and like they do need an outside voice to be like, hey, maybe it's a good idea to have this. But anyone who suggested a chorus for that song, that song was perfect as it was. It didn't need any.
I agree.
It didn't need
but
much.
But we did a. We,
they
we,
wanted
we,
to
we,
add
we,
it.
We did get a please. Can we do that version check?
Yeah, they wanted to add it to the Karma Hip Hopera movie. That's what it was. You remember
that
movie?
Sense. The Hip Hopera.
The Beyonce movie.
And so you got a please just do this check is one of some of the best checks you can get.
Yeah, because you heard the song's done.
Yeah, you already had the success off the song.
Listen, man, as an artist,
it hurts.
That haunts you.
That you because
you don't remember the money. I can't tell you what I bought with the money.
Right. Exactly.
That's true.
But that's forever.
Forever. You're right. He's right.
I know. Every time I search for "boom" in my computer, I have to see the one that says "new version," no, and I have to label the one that says "original," so I never play that one by accident.
Oh, have you played that in a club?
Oh my!
By accident.
In Europe, people be like, "What is?"
And then we had the little dance in the video. It was terrible. It was so bad.
I'll tell you this, though, Saif. I bet you don't even know this song. And this is arguably my favorite. This may even... I've told Royce this a million times. I don't think I've told Primo this. This may even surpass my love of Boone, to be honest.
Being enlightened is no longer enough. You must apply. Being willing is no longer acceptable. You must do. Make it count. Off me, he ain't gon' never sell, he gon' fail shit off me. I gotta shake this weak shit off me and keep shit off me and leave it in the streets like get off me. 1977, July 5th, conceived immaculately was me.
I mean, you're that one's dope, right?
Yeah,
it's called Shake This. Now, yeah, it's like great workout song, by the way. Great motivational gym song.
I never understand your workout songs. They're so slow.
Maybe that's why I'm bad at working out.
A song don't have to be fast in order for you to get it.
For me, it does. Okay. I need like the energy.
It sounds like you have skip
on the treadmill.
What kind of workouts do you do, Saif?
Not much.
But it's working for you right now. You're looking great.
Like, you know, if I go on the treadmill, if I go
sometimes
on it.
Sometimes I listen to gospel.
Huh?
And be killing shit.
Gospel?
Killing stuff.
You can curse. You're fine.
Killing shit.
I need music that's distracting because I can't stand what I'm doing at the moment. But whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's been on what your inner self is. Sometimes I listen to gospel, sometimes I listen to rock.
But you're talking about for like lifting weights and
for
shit?
For everything.
I can see that for like lifting weights. But like, I can't stand the monotonous run on a treadmill. Just you watching just the minutes just go down.
I
want to
shoot
myself
in
the face.
I can't stand treadmills.
Treadmills are the worst.
It's the worst.
I'm a big guy. I need cardio.
Primo, I can't tell with your jacket on. How's your weight these days? You look good.
I was 270. I'm 252 right now, so I'm going down. I want to go to 220.
Oh my god!
You want to do the 40-day reset with me?
What's that?
This is the program I'm on. You ain't seen my before and after flicks?
No,
he's down like 40 pounds.
You know, because I was wondering when you were going to finally catch on and start losing weight. You know?
No, nigga, I've been trying. You know?
No, but I mean, just looking at your face, I was going to say, damn, man, you look like you're slimming down.
Yeah, you see, Sife's doing good, man. Primo, how's your porn habit these days?
Damn, that just happened on Combat Jack. Same thing. I mean, it's over, man. I mean, that was an era and eras and eras and eras and... It ain't even like that no more.
Really? You've died down?
Yeah, I mean, I'll go on the net every now and then and stuff, but wow, Saif, good job, bro.
That's impressive, man.
Word up. Now keep it off. Wow. Nice. Good job.
That's just
Thanks, Positive Dad.
I'm giving away my collection, so if y'all want it, I'll bring a bag and boxes, and y'all can go through it.
Oh, you're getting
it.
Rid of your tapes.
Oh, shit.
My DVDs.
DVDs.
Yeah. Sorry. Yes, I want some. Only because they're premieres. I thought you were saying your music. I was about
to.
I almost had a heart attack.
I'll probably keep my top 10, 15, but the other 1,000, you can have them. Thousands,
yeah, I want some.
I don't need them no more.
So, Primo, this is a little bit intimidating in terms of having you guys here because we want to talk about the great album. This Prime album, I think, is one of the best rap albums of the year.
Is it out now?
Thank you.
It's out today.
Came out yesterday.
Out today. Yesterday.
I'm guessing the feedback has been amazing, right?
100%.
Like, is this some of the strongest feedback both of y'all have gotten on a project?
Yeah, definitely.
What label is this on? Who put it out?
We did.
Just put out yourselves.
Prime Records.
Perfect.
Yep.
Exactly.
Perfect, right?
Yo, that Funny or Die shit y'all did?
Yeah.
Yo, that shit was fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
Gerard Carmichael.
Gerard killed that shit. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
But I've never seen Premiere. I know Premiere is funny, but intentionally...
Yeah, I didn't really want to do it because I'm not an actor. But
nah, you killed
it. But Rage is a good friend of mine from way back, even before she was on Death Row. And I was like, yo, I'm comfortable if she does it because, you know, Royce and I's relationship is just so different from mine with hers. And, yeah. And plus when we sat with shout out to Betsy, who's the head of
Betsy Koch.
Yeah, she's good people, man. And that we were just sitting in a meeting one day about what would you only want to act and do? And I was like, nah, no. I said I will if you let me have Lady of Rage be beside me.
What?
And
she goes, by the way, I
she goes
that.
Afro Puffs. She goes, yeah, I love her. She goes, I love her Afro Puffs. So she knew she was.
Why is that and the criteria?
That's pretty. I knew the second I saw
what,
Rage.
You talking about having her in it?
Yeah.
Well, she's doing an album with me, so.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. So you're doing an album with just a full album.
But she gave me a hard drive of everything she had done when she was managed by Snoop's wife, and it's all banging, like hilarious. It sounded like new stuff. So I was like, yo, let's just snatch everything that's good. And she has like 15 songs, but they, you know, need to be structured and mixed, and some need to scratch and just fill in the blanks. And Snoop was like, hey, I'll give her three songs. And she got two with Nate Dogg, and Nate Dogg's wife and her are really close. She was like, yo, I'll sign off on it for Nate. So wow. She has the Dog Pound, she has RBX, everybody from Death Row on it.
Shit.
So she was like, yo, I just need three from you, and then we got an album, which and the album's dope. So,
wow.
So
that's
she,
dope.
She'll come out next year, and now she's going back to acting because she's going to play the role of what's his name? He was assassinated.
Medgar Evers.
No, that's been done already. Whoopi Goldberg did that. And that was a good. Good
Whoopi played Medgar Evers' wife.
Wife, yeah, it was dope.
I was like, Whoopi played Medgar Evers.
Yeah, no, she played
the wife.
The wife. I mean, she could, but yo, that was a good show. I mean, good movie though. Well, you know, whatever you call it when it's a movie on TV, but
I think it's called a movie still.
Fred Hampton. She's gonna play when Fred Hampton was killed, then you know they shot the wife, and she was still pregnant with Fred Hampton Jr. and he still lived. So
Wow.
So they're doing a cover of that and she's gonna play the wife. Yeah.
So Primo, I think we're gonna have to at some point just have you in again and do our like top to bottom interview with you.
Right.
Because we haven't done one with you where we start like you came up here once before with us, but it wasn't for a proper
that was
one
for sports.
Exactly. So yeah. We're gonna have to do that, but
and
I don't want to.
And your Redskins are looking bad.
That's not even. There's no need to change the mood of this conversation. Yeah, talking
just
about
wanted to let you know.
I know. Thank you. Don't worry.
Oh, wait,
I'm well aware.
Well?
Hey, maybe that.
Matter of fact, yo, I saw him the other day walking up 37th Street, and he looked like a lost person. Yeah. That
you didn't even say anything.
No, because by the time I looked up, I'm looking at you, thinking you're gonna look and go, "Oh shit!" And you don't. By the time you got to my window, my phone rang. And
it was over.
And you had on the Redskins
looking like miserable.
I think you had Redskins and you just looked miserable. So I was like, yo, let them keep on staying miserable.
That's one thing I don't miss about the morning show is the hype for football season, the excitement, right. And then the decline of life.
Oh, thanks, Sife.
Is that happening again?
Oh, it's the worst. It's the worst one ever.
the main thing was the way you were wandering in the street, and I'm just looking at it, and you looked like you were really. Lost, like if something else was
really bad. Yeah. No. Yeah. That's the worst thing that's happening right now. Yeah. That's the worst. I mean, listen, I live a blessed life, and the worst thing that's happening in my life is the Redskins, but it is really bad.
Yeah. Colt McCoy.
I will only be going to the game this weekend if I find out RG3 starting, and then I'm going to go support him. to see what will be his last game.
He's an idiot, too.
Ever? Hey!
Last game ever?
Don't be talking about your future quarterback.
Right.
What? You wouldn't want him on the Texans?
No.
You're crazy. How about you just stick with Ryan Fitzpatrick then?
I'd rather him than RG. I mean,
Primo, you are the greatest producer of all time. But if you say some crazy shit like that ever again in your life,
I say a lot of crazy shit.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's a Texans fan.
Yeah, we'll revamp. I'm an Oilers fan.
Whatever.
Was that before the Texans?
Before the Titans.
It's very confusing. Sife, it's so stupid. If you're not a sports
Houston,
fan,
that's Houston, though, right?
Right, so he was a Houston Oilers fan, but then the Oilers went and became the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So then he had nothing for a while, and then he eventually said, fuck it, and became a Houston Texans
fan.
Wait, that's a different team?
But it's a different franchise, but they're now in Houston.
You're not into sports. You're just into porn and comedy, okay.
I'm not into porn
either. Let's get back to prime.
That's good. what I was saying was that we have to get into a situation where we can have a more full conversation about the complete premiere story. But to talk about the prime.
Talk to Harry Allen about that. He's doing that.
What do you mean? What's he doing? He's doing a story?
Eventually.
What do you mean? What kind of story?
Just he said he wanted to do a book. I said.
Oh, like a book?
He said I told him he's the only one that I would trust to do that because Harry's raw. I love Harry Allen, the media assassin.
I know Harry Allen was mentioned in a Public Enemy song. That's all I know.
Many times.
Yeah, he was. That's exactly right.
Who is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Damn, and then,
you don't know that?
No, but I don't really
you do radio.
Yeah, but I gotta be honest, Primo, I barely knew who he was either. Like, I knew his name. Royce, do you know about Harry Allen?
Harry Allen, no.
See, we're all stupid.
Am I supposed to?
But you remember when he said it and Don't Believe the Hype?
Yeah, I remember his name from that. And then he interviewed me for something that he was working on recently about hip hop.
Right.
How old is this guy?
I don't know, 50s, right? Something like that. Yeah. But what is he most known for?
Public Enemies affiliation.
But why they shout? Why
but
they
yeah,
shout?
Like, why? Yeah, why were they?
Because whenever it comes to like clearing up certain things in the media and explaining it right, when Chuck does not want to talk and he doesn't want Griff to talk, he lets Harry speak on behalf. Sort of like a Bill Adler for Def Jam and all that stuff. You know, Bill Adler knows how to explain things as a white male to speak on black culture
to other people.
Harry Adler's white.
Terry Allen's black.
He's blacker than that microphone.
Oh, sorry.
So guys, is there going to be a full Europe tour situation with this as well?
We're going to tour for a while, yeah. You know, we just announced a tour, and it'll keep expanding, you know, as we go. We want to do two types. We definitely want to do the turntable way, which is, you know, our standard, but we want to definitely do special shows with Adrian because he has a band, and on top of that, just to incorporate what he lent to us in order for us to make this album be what it is, you know. So we'll do some special shows.
Touché.
On that. So
we're doing a U.S. tour first, though.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to ask Adrian Young a question. Adrian? You doesn't have headphones, but you can if you want. Whatever you want. I don't know. His hat's so nice, though. Look at that. It's got leather and fur.
He's so cool.
I know.
Yeah, you got this.
Adrian, how are you, sir?
I'm good, man. Let me just stand up.
Tell me the best moment from working on an entire album with Ghostface Killah. I'm sorry. What was the craziest, best thing that Ghostface said or did? We are big Ghostface fans over here. We've done a long podcast with him where he told us some of the best, craziest shit you've ever heard, including explaining why he likes to wear sweatpants under his pants at all times.
From the scrambling days.
From the scrambling days, which is from the scrambling days, in case you're wondering.
Scrambling days?
The scrambling days, Royce.
Oh, the drug shit.
Okay. The scrambling when you're out there, just it's cold outside, yeah, and you're scrambling. Right. So do you have any memories from working with Ghost?
You know what? When I record with Ghost, I'm from L.A., so my studio is in L.A. He recorded everything out here, so we didn't really, really bond until after the album was done and we went on tour. And, I mean, the amount of stories I got from him were insane, but actually the person that really has the stories is actually Killer Priest. He's the one really with the stories, and I'll give you a Wu-oriented story from Priest. Without saying the name.
So this story that we're getting right now is about Ghostface from Killer Priest through Adrian Young.
Actually, it's actually Wu affiliated. It's not about Ghostface because it's a better story.
Okay.
Ghost shit is just like, it's just funny shit every day.
Oh, it was nonstop.
I mean, I'll tell you, what one story is, you know, I always tell people, it's funny how hip-hop cats have a weird perception on the concept of R&B because hip-hop... A lot of hip hop is based on R&B.
Yeah, but of course.
And in many ways, you could say them R&B dudes back in the day were the hip hop dudes of today.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Lifestyle and everything. So, when we're on tour, there was this one night where, because Ghost got back on his drinking and all that stuff, and it was one night.
What a shame.
He's going ham. He's out there. He's out here.
We was on the bus, and he was like, you know what? I'm going to take a drink tonight. Let's just have fun tonight. And, like, literally, we were singing. I was just spinning different slow jams and like everybody was just singing shit. It was funny as fuck, dude, because he was just like singing mad slow jams. You know what I'm saying? And to see Ghost singing slow jams.
That's him. Just, yeah, that's really is who he is. Though.
Yeah.
At any point, did he just start rapping a full song over it like this?
I know exactly what you thought.
I'm from a place where fish was made. Corduroy Valley, sporting those rock Kim K's.
And he did that to, I have a song called Gloria on the Black Dynamite score. In fact, when Black Dynamite is about to get that cookie, there's a slow jam that comes on.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
When we was in the car, he was just rapping over the whole slow. He don't care. You know what I'm saying? Because he just
There's words there.
You can't just keep rapping. There's words. Yeah. He doesn't mean fun. So what was the story, the Wu affiliated story?
Man, that shit was funny, dude. He was telling me one night it was RZA and someone I'm not going to say, okay. A Priest, in a car and outside of a club. And dude was mouthing off to security. And security started whooping this dude's ass and slammed him on the car, and Priest was doing this rendition of the stuff that RZA was telling him. He said RZA was high and was telling him, do Tiger style. No, not Tiger style. Do Monkey style. But dude was getting his ass beat, and they were just laughing in the car. But it's one of those things. You just, next time you see Priest, you just got to ask him to tell you the story.
I don't know the next time I'm going to see Killer Priest. I never see Killer Priest. He's around?
Yeah,
he roams these streets?
He roams these streets.
Yo, do you see Priest? I never see Killer Priest.
I mean, he's on the West, but he comes out to the
East. Oh, he lives out there?
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in years.
I was a fan of Killer Priest first album.
It slept on.
Heavy Mental.
First album is slept on.
Yeah, he had a few gems on there. I fucking love. Definitely. Hey, Royce.
I love a La the Dark Man fan.
You were?
Yeah.
You know why they call him La the Dark Man? Wait, you're not going to believe this. He's dark. I thought there was another story to it until he came to the radio station. I was like, you know what? I'm putting this whole thing together now. La the Dark Man's dope, actually, and he's had a random career since then, too. Yeah. What does La the Dark Man do right now?
Last time I heard from him, wasn't he like
the Affiliates
rolling with Drama and them?
The Affiliates.
Yeah.
I don't know if he still roll with Drama, but he's like managing Willie the Kid's brother.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, Royce, how you been the last couple years?
I've been good, man.
How's your not to get overly personal, but how's your drinking and everything situation? Where are you at with it?
I haven't had a drink in over 2 years.
Really?
Nothing.
Yes. Actively pursuing my sobriety.
Is that for real?
Therapy every week, yes.
Really? You manage that all through the Slaughterhouse? Because being around Joe Budden that often, let's be honest, that could drive anyone to drinking.
Just being around him?
Yes. Just being every day dealing with Joe's ups and downs can send someone into alcohol.
Does Joe go to therapy?
I don't think so.
Joe needs therapy.
Oh,
why you say that?
She's crazy.
Yeah, Joe's a psychopath.
He's manic.
I mean, we say that in a loving way, in the most loving of ways.
Yeah, I want him to get help. I go to therapy.
I mean, but Joe does have high highs and low lows. Would you agree with that?
He's great, though.
He's doing good.
He's great.
I'm glad to hear that. We are big fans of Joe over here. I think my favorite thing about Joe is the fact that I know his mood so well is because he's the most honest dude ever. So he doesn't really put on much of a front. So you only have to see Joe. If I see Joe 6 times a year, each time I see him, I know what place he's in that moment very specifically.
That's sober, high, or whatever. That's just him. That's his
right.
personality.
That's just he lets it all out. Is Joe the member you're closest with in Slaughterhouse? Would you say that, or are you guys all equally close? Or?
I don't know if I would say that. I'm kind of like the bridge. I'm very close with all of them.
Have you had to play mediator between other members of Slaughterhouse before?
Or like if they had eyes with each other?
Yeah.
Have I had to do that? I don't think so. I don't really remember anybody having a serious problem like that. I remember talking to some members about others, but we never really had issues like that.
When's this new album coming out, by the way? Because I've been hearing awesome.
We're about 60% of the way done.
Dude, I've been hearing it's dope, and like there's a lot done for a long time.
What happened was the goal was to come out here, live out here for a month, get the album done, and put out what we had. We came out here. We lived out here. We did the album. We did a great body of work. But once Marshall heard it, he said, y'all almost there. So ever since then, he's been rolling out. You know, we've been doing the Shady 15. He rolled his album out. Me and Prem have been doing this. Joe put out Some Love Lost. You know what I'm saying? Joel did House Slipper. So it's just like getting everybody back together to just finish it out.
Be honest about this, if you can. What percentage did you think you were at before M said y'all are at 60?
I thought we was done. I felt like maybe we could use maybe one or two songs. Maybe that can go on radio. Even though we had, you know how it is, man. Like, you get the body of work done and you always got the second and third single. It's always very, very nitpicky on what that first record is going to be.
It's hard.
Yeah, the first record is hard. But when Marshall heard it, I don't think Marshall thought we had a first, second, or third.
I just love that idea that you guys are like, listen, Marshall, we really like it. We feel like we're just about done here. You know, maybe 90-95%. And we blah, blah, blah. He's like, 60%. You're like, oh, 60%. Yeah, okay, 60%. Put a little bit more work. We're going to go back to the lab. We're going to touch things up a little bit. All right, well, I'm very excited about it because the shit that I heard sounded phenomenal. That's the words I heard about it were very strong.
People won't be let down with that Slaughterhouse album.
All right.
We're putting everything into it.
Is it coming after another Eminem album or before another Eminem album? Or you don't know?
I would like to think before. I mean, I don't think M has a whole shitload of songs that he's sitting on for another album. I mean, he never stops recording. I haven't seen him in like a month. But He could have did an album in a month, knowing him. I don't know.
What survey of the room? What percentage chance is there that a black person wins the best rap album Grammy this year?
I pay that shit no attention.
I only say this because
I couldn't even tell you who's
nominated. Well, the reason I ask is the reason I was excited is because I have several people I'm close with who are nominated this year. Childish Gambino nominated for best rap album.
Ooh.
Schoolboy Q is nominated for best rap album, and they. And I congratulated them with like such sincere open arms the other day, and they're both, Q particularly, very excited about being nominated, and it's a big deal. Yet they're in a category with M and Iggy Azalea. I was like, I don't know if y'all have seen how this movie plays out.
Just get used to saying Grammy nominated.
Yeah, no.
That's cool to say that.
But they're good with Grammy nominated.
It's cool to say that.
I think the Grammys are going to split the Grammy between Eminem and Iggy Azalea. I think they're going to give them the chaff.
Iggy's going
to
get it.
I think there's
a good
shit to
do. She must. Does she have a good album? I haven't heard it. It got to be at least a little bit good, man. I mean, come on. Like, what's happening?
I haven't sat with it. I gave it a quick, through.
You heard it, Syfe?
No. Stop it.
And I think Iggy's.
You just didn't listen to it? Just because
I don't even know it exists. I don't know the title. I wouldn't even know where to find it.
It's called the new classic.
Why would I listen to it, Iggy Azalea? I'm no disrespect. I mean,
because the Grammys said you're supposed to listen to it.
She's a cool person. Exactly. When I see her, I've met her a couple times. And she's been nice to me, but I'm not. I don't.
That'll do it for that. Hey, Primo. Since we're a little all over the place today, because this is a weird one, we don't have Royce. You guys together is a complicated interview because it's historical. What we do here is generally historical, right? But I want to cover things that relate to everyone here. Get a little Adrian Young in there. I want to throw a couple songs at you. If I throw a couple songs at you, could you tell us a little something that comes to mind for that song?
Mm-hmm.
You're down with that?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to start with Syfe Sounds.
Take care.
I'm going to see, because I don't give a fuck. Shut up. This will be...
I'm going to answer somebody on Instagram.
This is one of...
Why?
Don't do this. This is one of Syfe's all-time favorites that I know.
Oh, yeah.
Take the money, never have to run.
One phrase, scratched.
Oh yeah,
one phrase.
He's Syfe doesn't like when you scratch multiple phrases.
Lately I've been doing
just
one phrase.
One phrase.
Yeah, I'm back to that.
You probably don't keep up
with what we do now.
No,
but it's all good.
I'm out the game.
You know what I'm saying?
But that's his favorite.
That's a shame. But so you just raped the culture and then bounced.
Oh my god!
I didn't rape the culture. I made love to the culture for a long time.
Yeah, well, you know what?
And now being the culture, our friends.
The pussy's still good.
I go back once in a while. Have sex with my ex.
Yeah, no, I keep fucking it.
Syfe, you're gonna like this album's gonna make you feel good. Right. But anyways, tell us a little bit about All for the Cash. Tell me something about All for the Cash.
All for the Cash was my interpretation beat wise. Me and Guru used to always listen to so many artists from New York do bounce records at that time. You know, like Big Pimpin' and records of that nature. And we wanted to do one too, but we didn't want to do that bounce pattern. So I said, let me do my version of a bounce record, but where you could blend it with those same types of records. And that's why mine is the 4/4 count version, but you could still play it like a bounce record, and you could still do that little bounce move, you know, with the little fist.
Right.
Wait, where did that come out on again? What was that on?
Full clip.
Oh, yeah, just on the album. I have an R&B song.
I know.
I wish one day will come out. One day.
Want to hear, how about this one? This is Ebro. This is Ebro's favorite record off of this album. He's obsessed with the song.
Really?
Oh, he's obsessed. You remember that?
No.
We sat in his office one day. We were supposed to be talking about the radio show. And Ebro was like, hold on. Y'all know this song? And just played this for like 20 minutes. Talk about this song.
I was actually in a bad mood when I did this record because we had finished the. Royce actually brought me back to this life. This is the last song on Return of the Boom Bap with KRS-One. I did not. We said the album's done. Let's go. It was 5 in the morning. I was really tired, and Chris is like, "Do one more," and I'm like, "Come on, man, the album's ready." He's like, Chris. One more. That's why he's talking at the beginning. Okay. Like, hey, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. He was like, just come up with anything at 5 o'clock in the morning. That's what I came up with.
Oh my god.
That's why it's so laid back. I had no more energy left, and I was really, really tired.
He just looped it.
And I looked at Chris just like, yo, man, this is what I got. And I did. That's why. But now I love it. Another level.
Higher level.
Higher level, yeah. See, that's how tired I was.
You know, it's so good.
About what you believe
And the lyrics are sick.
Oh, the lyrics are sick.
Mad long intro.
The intro's like...
Yeah, it's 5 in the morning. I mean, now 5 in the morning is standard to me, so it's no big deal.
By the way, so far you're at 136 and there's no rapping yet. There we go.
136.
That album is fucking phenomenal. Your mad heads be needing money.
So listen very close as I conduct this little stuff. Alright, what about this little joint right here?
I hate this one.
Seth, you hate this song.
I'm kidding.
I know you're lying.
Yeah, I love this song. It's one of my favorite
songs.
That
was just, you know, Group Home needed a single. You know, Guru wanted to sign 3 artists to Gangsta Productions, which was J. Rue, Group Home, and Suge. And it was their turn. J. Rue was already popping, and I was like, all right. And I said, let me produce the albums, and we'll still split the money in half. And I'll do the work, and you can just fall back and enjoy yourself, you know. And that's exactly
So Guru picked all those guys?
Yeah, we were all hanging then, you know what I'm saying? We were always in the same house. They were all in our house. You know, our house was like a frat house. You know, RZA would be over there. Jizz would be over there. Easy Mo B would be there. It was just a smoke-a-thon and a lot of girls. A lot of girls. I mean, we'd come home from Europe or doing a show for like a week. And literally come in, and it's like 10 girls dancing around butt naked.
We'd
come home dropping our bags off and just jumping right in the mix.
Like, that's how our house really
When you say in the mix, you mean making music or fucking bitches?
Fucking bitches.
Okay. I just want to be clear about what we're talking
about. No, you weren't.
That's how our house was all the time.
Nobody stole any of your shit. You never had a pair of Tim's
missing. No, because I lived
upstairs
and I had my stuff very securely locked. Black is here. He can vouch for me. Yeah, you know, but
downstairs was a fuck fest.
Downstairs was definitely a fuck fest.
Literally a fuck fest.
Who cleaned up? Who cleaned up back in the day? The Gangsta House.
There were certain days that Guru would clean up and really immaculately clean. But otherwise, there would be so many bottles. And Guru, you know, during his alcoholic years, he would always get up in the morning, take a bottle, hold it up to the light to see if there's any cigarette blunt ashes in it. And if it wasn't in there, he would just turn the whole bottle up and drink whatever's in there.
To clean up.
To just finish anything that
was there. No, but to make sure it wasn't wasted, but still clean.
And then Dap used to hide pizza in the dishwasher.
Why would Dap hide pizza?
Because that's that survival tactic, you know, that Brooklyn survival tactic mode where he, you know, because everybody's in there eating all the food.
I know, niggas.
So he's like, nobody's
going
to go in the dishwasher to look for no grub. So I guess he was like, yeah, I'm stashed my slice here. So when there's no food left in the fridge, who's going to look at the dishwasher? I just happened to go in there like, who's putting pizza in the dishwasher?
Saif, where do you rank this? Where do you rank this part right here among the great rap lyrics of all time? Yo, I rock on the block with the real hip hop as you start to clock and jock. Yo, what was Melakai the Nutcracker like?
Melakai, first of all, he really is 7:30. He takes lithium. He's on Thorazine. He's
still
on,
now.
Yeah,
you know him now.
Yeah. He just got out of jail for beating up cops.
And, okay.
Twice. He beat up 2 cops and just got out of jail for the second time. And I just talked to him a couple days ago. And he goes, hey, yo, what's up? What's up? Because he calls me baby. So he'd be like, yo, baby, yo, I'm going back to jail in a couple weeks, man. I just broke this guy's nose and I violated my probation, my parole. But I'll be in there for a couple months and I'm going to see you. I love you, man. And smiling and jolly about
he
it.
He loves jail?
I don't know what it is, but he loves
jail.
I mean, he has no problem in jail, right?
No, hell no. He can fight. I mean, and not only that, the reason why he was even doing the album is because it was by force of him not doing a bid because he had 2 gun charges.
I went
to court for 2 years to get the judge. Her name is Judge Bamberger, but shout to her. She was a very
Primo's
rough.
Memory is the best memory in hip hop.
Yeah, so don't blame it on weed. That's a farce. But I went to court for 2 years to fight with the judge to let him box because that's what was his dream. And we were going to boxing training and everything. And she was like, well, that's a violent sport. And he's already has 2 gun charges. He's beating up people all the time. And he's just so violent. I'm like, yeah, but if he gets paid for it, let him vent his frustrations out in something that's a professional thing. She goes, no. She goes, do you know what the word remand means? She goes, you're in the music business. Make him do a record. And I was like, yeah, but that's not what he does. She goes, do the record. Or he's going back to jail. So that's why we did the record. He didn't want to go to the studio. He was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And I was like, you got to do it, man. And so he just spit whatever the fuck he wanted to spit.
That is bizarre.
And that's a true story.
It's bizarre that Premier, in the midst of making all our favorite classic records,
you can't even front on that album either.
Going to jail, up to court, to represent his friend.
2 years.
I don't understand this.
Primo,
guy's
you're
life.
Light. That's why. This is why the thing. One day we're gonna need you for like. We're gonna have to put aside like 5 hours. I'm being serious. To get the whole thing, because your memory and your
carry
stories.
Out on the book.
No, Primo, that doesn't do anything for us.
Yeah, Jay-Z called me memory man.
Your memories are iconic. And even if you do 5 hours, I gotta be honest, all it'll do is help Harry get more for the book when there he comes back and listens.
Yeah, Jay-Z called me memory man. When he sees me, every time he sees me, like, yo, what's something that you remember? And I remember I saw him in Paris at the on the Holy Grail tour, and I brought Keebler with me, my tour manager. And he goes, hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. I said, he goes, what you got for me this time? I go, actually, you met him. He goes, no, I didn't. I go, yeah, you did. I said, Lupe Fiasco was doing an audition for you at Baseline. And the CD skipped, and the CD kept skipping, and Lupe was going, while I was going, and then when it jumped back, he'd start rhyming again. And Jay was like, I remember that. And I was like, Keebler was with me, standing there watching the whole thing. He was like, God damn. So,
Primo, can you answer an honest question?
Yes.
I know it's going to be hard.
I've been giving honest.
That's all you do. It's a bad habit that I say that, because you're literally you're honest to the point. We've made jokes on Juan Epstein before about how if you ask DJ Premier a question in real life, sometimes the answer is so honest, you may not want the answer. Right. Serious rap shit.
Right.
The only song Guru produced on the album. Right. How do you feel about that song?
I like it. I like Guru's verse, because
I love Guru's verse. Yeah. But I'm not going to.
Guru was never a master beat maker.
I know. Man. That's why on that song.
Yeah, he's never been master
beat
maker. What
song is that?
Serious Rap Shit on the Group Home album.
It's the one.
On the Group Home album.
He did that one. And Jazzo did Forgive My Sins.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that Jazzo did Forgive
Jazzo
My Sins.
Yeah, Jazzo did that one. Because he was at D&D a lot during that time. Well, the whole Rockefeller.
Part of you didn't want to be like, nah, guys, let me just finish out this whole thing. I have a masterpiece.
So many classics.
Yeah, I know,
I had enough on there to make it an album that I could live with releasing. You know,
did Guru?
I knew I'd get
flack
from
Bodyguards,
right? But I mean, like I said, that's my family, so it's like
doesn't matter.
Out.
And by the way, the album's so good. For the record, I could do that album; it would be viewed the same way.
I had many people go, "How in the hell did you give them that?" And it's like, everybody my family.
That.
That's our crew.
Hove said
I'm not
that.
Give them whack shit.
I've heard Hove say that. He's like, "I want every Group Home beat."
That's ever
I
happened.
Wanted every Group Home beat. Yeah. Wait, did Guru do Suckers Be Bodyguards?
We have a new NYG's record that, and Pan said Preem still got beef over Group Home beats.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. What about this right here?
Yeah, you gonna lace me up, right? With a little intro and
yeah,
shit.
I didn't like this.
Like, take the beat out. What's this?
Did you just do this as a remix?
Yeah, and
you just had the
acapella? I didn't like it. Yeah, no, Puff and them came to the studio. And I just didn't like it, so that's why I call it the premiere I don't like remix, you know, because I could do something else better, but and it didn't come out anyway.
What about
so.
This remix?
Nas didn't like this version.
You know this side?
No.
Memory Lane. I called it the B-Boy mix. Nas didn't like it.
Nas didn't like the one for Represent, the one that's on the album. That's a remix.
The real Represent, the one that we all know?
No, the one on Illmatic, that's a remix.
Really?
And Nas liked the original Baseline version. He didn't like the new one. I was like, yo, this is the one.
You were right.
Thank you.
I made love to these records.
Literally?
Yeah.
Who was that girl? That girl who loves hip hop?
Yeah.
You used to bang her out to this?
J. Rue. Ain't the devil happy?
Oh, yeah.
I'm smashing.
Adrian fucked my head up with that one.
What?
About it, because he was like, ain't the devil.
One of the, on the song Crime, Primo sampled one of my songs called Midnight Blue. And
which song? With the song Prime?
Yes. Yes. If you listen to this song, you could hear, if you listen to the drums, it's like Ain't the Devil Happy.
Oh, really?
So, like, when I wrote the song, I wrote it as if it was like on some Italian composition shit with him doing the drums and the bass. But this is way before, this is, I mean, 2011 time.
Oh, this was not when this wasn't even an idea yet.
I'm such a Primo fan. I've learned so much from him that when I wrote this song, I acted as though Primo was producing the beat. And then the first song that he showed me on Prime, because I just gave him a catalog, and then he made
And this happened to be the first thing
this
he fucked with?
This happened to be the first song. I was like, yo, you don't even know that this right. song is
it's
actually supposed
full
to be
circle.
You. So I full flipped clip. In my head what he did with instruments, and then he flipped that to make Crime with Royce. So it's a trip. To be inebriated to prevent me from getting shot. That's better than getting shot. That's a much more healthier ending. I'm running this race all by myself. My competition's in the selfie Olympics. Coming back with a vengeance and LV a vintage. Anybody got a problem with me winning this shit?
That Prime album's out right now, by the way. It's fucking phenomenal.
Thank you.
Thank you, bro.
This one did quite well.
Oh, yeah.
This was an 8 Mile.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah.
During the battles.
Yep.
I like how Eminem, you know, put the real era of what was happening sonically with artists in the movie.
Because it would easily be like, well, we don't have the budget for to clear them.
He made it
like, we're using the real beats.
I was
beats.
Very, very, very happy that he did that. And I had asked him about it years ago back because I spoke to him back when we did the battle record for the 8 Mile soundtrack. And even that, when we got reached out, they were like, yeah, Eminem wants you to do a Gangstar record for 8 Mile. We were like, word? You know, because he was like super big, just getting super big, you know, past that first two albums already, so for him to want a Gangstar record on there was a honor on the strength of, you know, we've been around before him, but still to just handpick us to do a record, and Battle's definitely one of my favorite records.
I love Battle, but that's one of the things that there were periods of M's career where M was so popular in certain circles, and me as like the underground hater that I was like less into it for whatever reason. And the reason I always
that's an 8 Mile or
no, just in general. But the thing that always kept me a fan of Eminem, regardless of anything, was how much respect he always showed to the music and culture.
100%.
Like, he was always that dude. He's the guy who's never forgotten, ever. Yo, Primo, this was a remix, though.
Yeah.
And it's so much, no disrespect to Show. I love Show. Show did the original, right?
Yeah.
Love. I actually do like Show's version, but this took the song to a completely different place.
Yeah. Well, me and P-Rock were getting so many remix gigs back then. You know, if it wasn't Pete, it was me. But P-Rock was just tearing things up with the remix game.
I mean, but you were pretty strong. You guys had a few records, by the way, that you both were on. That you both did an A-side and B-side. Let me see if I can remember them. Hold on.
J-Roo.
Well, let's start here. You did this. You did this.
Who's that?
And then P-Rock did this. You a fan of the Pete Rock remix?
Yeah.
Then Primo did this.
No doubt, baby. All city, nigga. No doubt, baby. All city crews.
Then Pete Rock did this. Mean. Oh, you're talking about J. Roo. You're talking about this.
I'm laughing at your fucking head nod.
Oh, it's a terrible head nod.
I don't know where you went to some college cafeteria just now, yo.
Oh, I was
you
in
were,
it?
You were in the zone.
Then Primo did this.
I don't know which one I like better.
They were both good.
I can't.
I love Peach.
I think I like this one better, but slightly.
And then Pete did this.
Oh.
I think Pete got him on this. I think Primo got him on Dos Effects. I'm gonna call the All City one a split. What's your favorite of the Jay-Z's?
My favorite of Jay?
Yeah. No, that you did.
Definitely a Million and One Rhyme No More.
I'm gonna say The Evils.
The Evils would be a definitely a tie.
Oh, you want?
Dear God, I want to. Yeah. I didn't like this. I mean, it's all right. I like it. I don't love it.
Oh my God!
Because what it was is, Jay would always describe the song over the phone. and then sing the rhyme to you a cappella, and then tell you what he wants, what scratch
before
he wants.
There was a beat.
Yeah, all the time. The Devils was the first thing that he told me. Friend of Foe, we just did off the head, and he just went in there and did it. But
right, and that's why it sounds so different.
And Bring It On, same thing. But and that's the first time I met Sauce and all of that. But
I fucking love
One,
Bring It On.
Million and One, he was like, I want to do this, and I want you to. He did them little breakdown things you do, and he goes, and I'm gonna go, motherfuckers can't. And he said, right on rhyme no more. You gotta drop the beat, but I want it to be like emotional. He said, not. He said, so I want one more, like some, you kind of dance to it, but medium tempo. And he said, I want to be almost sad, but still head nodding. So that's what I did.
But he already had all the rhymes.
Top of Too Short, he was there too.
He had the rhymes already.
Yeah, he did over the phone.
Why was Too Short there?
They were doing a week ago. Rockefeller used to have all the rooms on lock. My room, the A room, and the new room that D&D had called the D room.
And Too Short was using one of the rooms?
No, remember, it was all good just a week ago. He was there to lay that. Mm-hmm.
That's a banger.
So Jay-Z was just rotating all three rooms.
What about this one?
Back at you.
Sife, you a fan?
I love this song, man.
I like it. I don't love it.
I remember the day I got this. I remember I was at my parents' house when I used to get records in the mail from college radio, and I was like, oh shit, new Jay-Z single? And then I looked at the B-side. I was like, please be a primo. I knew there was a chance the B-side would be a primo. And it didn't, you know, Rockefeller Records don't have credits on them. The vinyl didn't say anything. But I put it on, I was like, oh, it is a primo song.
Volume 3 was a good album, too.
It was.
That's when you got a fifth.
At Summer Jam.
Wait, that was when he...
When he got that fifth at Summer Jam.
What the fuck is 50 Cent?
That record's on there, too.
This is after 50 did
How to Rob
record.
I mean, I love it, but
what's your favorite of his of the premiere records with Jay?
The Evils.
Oh, you already said that.
And Friend or Foe.
I like Friend or Foe 98. I'll be honest. This is crack.
Yeah, Jay came in with all the scratches.
He did?
Yep.
The word.
Yeah, he did. He over the phone. He said, I want you to just cut this. Secret Society, you know, he did the whole scratch over
so
the phone.
So even the Mob Deep shit, he was...
Yeah, and even I Can't Die, he said, I want to go, I can't die, make it do that. He totally... Wow. That's how he would do the whole thing over the phone.
I got to tell you, that really... Not that I didn't respect Hov enough already, but I got to give extra respect for that. That's because the chorus is done in a way.
He totally sang the whole thing over the phone.
Dear God, I wonder, can you save me?
Yep.
I can't die.
Yep.
Okay, tell me the process of making this show. I'm sure it's not that complicated, but it's one of my favorite ones ever.
Well, that was easy. Shout to Positive K, too.
Why shout to Positive K?
Because he said I could rock around with just static. And it... No, but this was actually the last song on the album and the last song we recorded. And he said, I want to do a song called Static. So already I was like, let me... And that static is actually in the a record. And I just like the way it had that...
It's such a good...
Same thing with Question Remains. I had two copies of Bob James. Oh. One was a sealed copy. One was a copy that had gotten damaged. And it was like... The inner sleeve was stuck to it. And it just sounded dope with all the dirt on it.
Primo, why the fuck did you do this? This is the question I have. Scythe, this is an iconic question.
Just to do another version.
And, but then...
40 mix.
When we were putting it on the 12-inch, we didn't want to overcrowd the 12-inch with four records because it lowers the volume. When the more songs you put on a vinyl piece, the lower the volume gets. So we wanted to pump, so we just said, let's just do the three mixes and just put that one as a backup. And then on top of that, we had a glitch in the final master in the studio, and I was like, I'll go back and fix it later. So... We were just like, let's just go with the original to put out without the horns.
Horny mix.
The horny mix was iconic. I didn't know.
There was a horn version. I got to give you. Remember, I can load you up with some music.
Yo, I can give you my DJ Premier collection is. I got the
Mine's
one.
Mine's better.
Yo, Primo, I don't know if yours is better. All right.
Premier.
Say what's up to the whole motherfucking love this record. RIP OG Boo Bang. RIP, man.
This song is Brownsville. I'm open.
I love his name. He was the voice of M.O.P. before he got killed, man.
When did he get killed?
Right before we did this record.
Oh, right, all the way back then.
And the crazy thing was, OG Boo Bang, you used to always hear
that's his
voice,
that
high-pitched voice, yeah. Oh. And
the crazy thing was, he said, yo, man, I'm going to die by the gun anyway. You know, I'm going to be, somebody going to kill me soon.
And he got killed that week.
shit.
Like, he's like, all right, Dad, that's how I'm going out. Yeah, so he was really, really wild. But OG Boo Bang, man. The young kid, too, man. But missed that guy.
You and MOP had a hell of a role. What's your favorite MOP one?
I love the one we did with Guru, Salute Part 2.
Oh, my God. That's the best record. Song ever.
Amazing record. Amazing
this song
record.
Right here.
Yes.
Yeah, they talking about rap. We don't rap. It's not about rap. We living in what they talking about.
I love
about.
Flip's voice.
It's
man.
Not about cars and jewelry. What you read about the news, paper, and the magazine. It's his reality. This is our form of nature. This is how we live. Salute.
Now everybody on earth wanna rap. We birthed all of that, knocked up the game, and Cole broke his back. Gangsta, with Billy Dance and Big Slap. Word to Lays, Big School, and Big Gats. You didn't whip it right, so pick up the pace. Word to Grimy niggas.
Sipe, I know you're a big fan of this one.
You can't do your business, can't get your grip. Can I get a witness?
Ghetto people!
You like what?
There's another one I like.
I know.
Stick to your guns.
Oh, stick to your guns.
Cool G rap, yeah.
Yeah. Fire.
You know what my jam is, though?
That's when we just met. That was when we all just met each other.
This was brand new.
Yeah.
Select Records.
Yeah.
The double 12-inch, the rare double 12-inch, including, and it was so unnecessary,
yeah,
too.
Double
like,
12-inch, that was so dope. That's the good hip-hop business.
No, because like you guys did it for the sound, because on two of the 12-inches, both Downtown Swing, I think, and the Dirty,
and
both
the
30s,
original versions were on there as well.
But one side is just a dirty version, that's it. So it's a very high-quality sounding.
You couldn't shun this, I'm leaving rappers with the dumbness, because I got no feelings like dumbness.
Although, listen, you know what you can't sleep on? DJ Premier, don't sleep on this one right here. Hold on. Arguably, this is also very high up on my favorite Primo and MOP list. You really killed this album. You don't remember this?
No, what's it?
This is from...
Damn, Sife.
Sorry.
That was when Annie Up came out.
Sorry, I was with Lil Kim.
Yeah, Lil Kim was hood then. Well, she's still hood, though. I can't front. Kim
oh,
keep
my
it
favorite. No, my favorite one is...
Tell me. Say it right now.
Kim keep it.
What's the one where Fox is yelling in the beginning?
Fox yelling on everything.
Yeah. What do you mean? A lot
Fox,
of songs.
Fox beats, she beats up a lot of people, too.
The one that's... Oh, fuck. It's my favorite one.
Warriors.
No. Some shit like a voice.
Oh,
calm down.
Calm down.
Oh, my
calm
God.
Down.
Fame did that. That shit is
oh, amazing. Fame did that?
Yeah.
I don't have it on here for some reason.
Oh, nice yeah, I did know piece. That. That's right. You're
yeah,
right.
He,
you're right.
He produces like yeah. half the album.
No, I know.
I don't know why I don't have that either. Calm Down's amazing.
That's
amazing.
Right. It was Fame. I forgot.
The dopest shit when they came out at the Apollo, you know, back when Apollo used to do the hip-hop joints. And she was pregnant, and she came out with the gray sweatsuit and mad pregnant. And she came out, yo, motherfucker, and she just looked
oh
so
my
dope.
God.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's how that's Ray Brownsville for real, man.
What about this shirt right here?
Love Fox, man.
Brave is a knave who steps up to be slayed by the one who forgave him for his first mistake. He best behave.
Daily Operation, that was actually the first record I ever recorded at D&D.
Really?
Yeah. Well, once I came to, you know, shout out to Showbiz, he's the one that brought me to D&D.
Oh, really?
Yep.
What's the one?
He was doing a remix to Return of the Funky Man
for Lord Finesse, and he wanted me to do scratches, so he said, yo, meet me at the studio D&D. I went there, laid it. He said, I got to leave. Get me a copy of the final mix and take one for yourself. So I took a cassette copy. You know, we made cassettes back then. And I played in my car. You remember my MPV? It was known in New York. And when I popped in, I said, yo, the mix on this is crazy. I'm doing my next Gangsta album here. And that's how I ended up at D&D. So shout out to Showbiz and Law Finesse.
Wait, what was the re-edit of this, the remix?
Yeah, the remix.
But it was called something.
It was called the... Flip the script. I always made
had a
funny
cool
names.
Type, yeah.
They always have funny names.
The re something or like the
readjustment mix.
Yeah, readjustment mix.
Yeah.
Let's see if Scythe. I'm gonna stump Scythe. I can easily stump Scythe.
You can stump me in the later Primo years.
Oh no!
Were you a fan of this one, Scythe?
I never heard it.
Yes, you have.
No, I don't think so.
Royce just gave you the craziest side eye. It was insane.
Yes, yes.
You heard this one? I never heard this.
Craig David, Mos Def, Primo. Doesn't that sound then random if you never heard it? Because I would think that sounds pretty random.
No, I
thought that was Nate Dogg.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
Oh, yeah.
That's Craig David.
Well, Nate Dogg did the original.
Okay. Oh, yes, I've heard this.
But he had his own record called Oh No.
Okay. Right.
I was thinking this was an Oh No remix.
No.
I've heard this.
Okay. But he said he's such a Nate Dogg fan that he wanted to do that kind of, like, you know, just giving love to Nate Dogg.
But this that you're playing right now, that's Nate Dogg, right?
No, that's Craig David singing it.
Oh, so this is the remix version?
No.
It's a Craig David song where he kind of redid Oh No.
Yeah, just to do it. It's not a parody. What do you call it when you just.
Royce checked out when you guys said it's a Craig David song.
Checked out.
No.
The original was on
Raucous. He redid Boom. Yes. He redid Boom. We performed it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Craig David,
yeah.
He redid Boom.
Word, I don't even know.
Did he do the Great Boom Chorus?
Nah. He did something much better.
Okay, don't sleep on this one, guys.
Yeah.
And he sang on it.
Mm-hmm.
And what y'all performed with him?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's amazing, Primo. You're such an interested guy. Like you love getting information.
Yeah, we're supposed to.
I know. No. Power. That's what makes you great, Primo. That's why you're so essential to this.
Well, we're all essential.
Yeah. Some more than others.
Yeah.
Don't sleep on this one.
Living the life.
Oh, wow.
On my real name.
You didn't even know what it was yet.
Yeah. Drugs is the key to success. Money is the key to sex. The life is getting cash, drinking liquor, smoking sex. The games people play. The names people play. It's just enough and ordinary.
Arguably the greatest DJ Premier song in history.
Enjoy.
Yeah. This is going out
to La Bella, Puerto Rico.
What's like, where is La Bella, Puerto Rico?
Who knows?
Primo, you got to tell a story about this one. You remember anything about this one? He just looked at me like, I remember everything about this one.
I mean, Joe just said, we were hanging with Joe really heavy because I met him through, I lived in the Bronx for a brief moment because Guru was hanging with this girl that let us sublet her apartment. That's how I ended up meeting Panchi and Malachi, the Nutcracker, and Smiley, the Ghetto Child, and all of them from the Bronx.
Smiley.
Yeah, shout out to him.
How do you meet all these people, you know? Like, you were in the Bronx.
When you blow trees, you got to see the dealer, and then you start hanging around all the people that hang around those people. And then, you know, then they see you every day going up and down the block, and everybody just gets cool. And then next thing you know,
I'm just not cool with anybody.
But Primo, did you ever have, like, you're such a real dude, and the impression I always get is that you never have any problems. Did anyone, you're such an open guy, you meet so many people, did anyone ever try to fuck with you or extort you or try to really come at your neck in that way?
No, not in that way. I've been in a lot of brawls and a lot of fights, you know, and...
With who? But, who? Why would you fight anyone?
Just...
It wasn't your fault.
If you... You know, it's like, I'll even give you the... Brother, please don't.
You know, I'm kind of like David, Bruce Banner in the Hulk.
Yeah.
I'm just like, please, man. I mean, I don't want to go there with you. It's all love. And if they still push, I go ahead and haul off and get it over with.
But like in a club or like somebody drunk?
It's funny because in the club, for some reason,
after all the brawls I've seen in clubs, I'd never wanted to be the one where they go, yo, Premier was starting shit up in the club. Even though if I'm just in a situation with somebody who's got a loud mouth, I just would always be like, I don't want them to start looking at me going, well, when Premier comes here, there's a problem. Because like at Life, which is now called the Poujon Rouge or LPR, I used to go there and just be dressed in slacks. And they'd be like, you know, you remember that fight you had? And I'm like, yeah, but a guy was being disrespectful and we just shut it down. Yeah, but we saw you fighting cops and you were punching cops in the face. Yeah, because they were taking the wrong people and they were being disrespectful. So we were hitting them back.
You punched cops in the face before?
Yes.
I love DJ.
And outran them too, and I'm a good driver.
Outran them in the car.
But the other side of it.
We used to do it for fun.
The other side of it.
Wait, did you catch that line?
We did.
But the other side of it is you're probably friends with a lot of cops.
It's funny because one day I got pulled over recently in the cop, and I did an illegal U-turn, and I already knew it, and I saw him do the turn. I'm like, all right, he got me. As soon as he pulled up. He goes up, license registration, I give it to him. He goes, you know why I'm stopping you, right? I said, yeah, for the U-turn. He goes, no. I said, well, what are you stopping me for? He said, I want to take a picture. I was like, that's it? He goes, yeah. He said, I know who you are. I've seen you going up and down this block. I was like, oh, you know, because it's where I live. So yeah. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Yeah, he goes, and now I see him every blue moon, and he's always like, yo, you ever need me? Yeah. I'm here.
You have every connect ever that you need.
It's all about relationships, man.
D'Angelo, that's my dude, man.
It's amazing how much I keep remembering. I just keep remembering. I mean, I'm not even like scratching the surface yet.
Yeah, D, man, I love that dude. He's so genuine, man, and he don't bite his tongue too. And oh yeah, he'll scrap. He's a little guy. He will scrap.
Did it start with? Is this the beginning? Was this?
Yes. Yeah.
This is how it started.
That was a remix. I had actually done it with this kid named Absolute, who was down with the group home. He's from the 183rd. He was a little 16-year-old kid at the time, and I did it with him on the verse. But, you know, obviously AZ was our label mate, so they were like, nah, we got to do it with AZ. And then that's how we ended up doing the remix.
Premier loves to put people on.
Yeah. Oh, my. That's what makes him him.
If you got some skills.
No, you really do look out though for the people. Yo, you know, who do you think, Primo? Who do you think was? I'm not saying the least deserving in like their assholes or anything like that, but just like maybe had proven the least and lucked out with the best Primo beat on
like
the random,
like the Adore,
like Adore from
like
Pete Rock, exactly.
Pete Rock.
Yeah, but that was a good record.
No, that's what I'm saying.
But who the fuck was he? Like,
right? He just lucked into
that
though.
But that was a good record though.
That's my
good
point.
Record. You just give it up. It's just like Groupon, you got to give it up. Like, they have the top lyricists of the world, but the records were good.
Like, there have to be just random people.
I
like,
see people going, I rock on the block with the real.
Okay, for example, first time we ever heard from this guy.
Primo.
Oh, Term?
Pretty good hookup you got for
he's
Term.
He's a slept on MC. He's got lyrics, man.
I love Term, and I love his grind.
But this was his first rap. This was his first thing. I'd never heard anything before.
I had heard him before.
You had Static. I've known Static for years.
Oh, and Static's
Boston,
already.
Yeah. And they're all from Lawtown, so.
I'm trying to think. Who else got a random hookup? Oh, here, I'll tell you someone who got a good one. This one. I'm not saying you're going to. Obviously, you knew this person. I'm just saying this is still randomly dope.
Yeah, shout out to Paula, man. I love
that's family.
That's people that just, so it's not random.
Yeah,
at all.
She got a deal through Master Ace, and you know, and me and Ace used to hang out.
Where I formerly live is because of Master Ace. He threw a cookout for the summer, and I was like, where the hell is this part of Queens? And went to the party, and I was blown away with the area, and I was like, damn, nobody will find me here. And he hooked me up with his landlord, and I got
What's the Master Ace Primo connection?
Well, we were neighbors in Brooklyn,
okay.
And then we were neighbors in Queens. So we, and then he wanted to learn
how
to work the.
You did Saturday Night
He wanted
Night
to learn
Live?
How to work the.
I just did scratches.
Scratches on Saturday.
He
night.
Wanted to learn how to work a 950.
So I used to go to his house, and then they're the ones that started doing like Madden leagues, you know, but when it was not even even heard of.
Mr. C and all of them was part of that.
The Madden league with football and
yeah.
The video games, all of them, yeah.
Primo, random one you did.
Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
That was the remix. That was the remix album.
What'd you say?
That was the remix album.
Well, why is it not random, Sif?
Because that's called the check it out right there.
Shout out to Timbaland, me, Pharrell, E-40. We were all part of that
remix album.
So was he a fan?
Yeah. Like, even when I did the one with Method Man.
Because you did two of them. You did this and Together Now.
Yeah, and Together Now, I didn't want to do. My manager convinced me to do it. He said, hey, it's going to be a big payday. And I was like, nah, he can't really spit. He goes, Method Man's on it. I said, word? So I really did it because Meth was going to be on it. And they sent me a rough. I didn't do nothing to it but just put drums on it and re-chop the piano. They gave it to me with the piano. Done. If you get the 12-inch, that version on the flip on the. On
oh, yeah, that's
the,
basically it.
Yeah, that's all it was. And I just put my drums, my bounce, my bass line, rebounced it to the way I do it, and took that piano and just ding, 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 and just did all that stuff to it. And that was it.
I'm going to burn through a bunch.
And we got a $6 million plaque sold, not $6 million. Oh, Bone Thugs. There's two versions.
Yeah, that's the. I don't know if I have the other one on here.
Yeah, there's two versions of that.
Do you do that with them or no?
No, they just sent it, send me the parts.
Syfe, I know you love this one.
Bump skitty bump skitty bump.
Now that I like. Yeah, I remember Puff was like, yo, I need that instrumental right now.
Word. That was before Biggie?
Yeah, way before. Before the One More Chance.
Oh, wow.
I just wanted to chop up the way Marley did it with Craig G for dropping Science 12-inch. That's all I was doing because it was a remix.
Let's talk about how this was the Angie Martinez countdown first.
Yeah, high five at 9. That's why it goes to 5. 4-5. It only stops at 5.
And that's why the 10 is different.
It was a high five at 9.
10.
Oh, yeah. The 10's out of
the
nowhere.
The 10 is like the astronaut countdown.
The other one's Chuck D, and then the other one's just 10.
Remember, she used to do the high five and 9?
Yeah. I love,
and remember
I
back
everybody
then,
this story.
Everybody did promos for Angie.
Yeah.
Everybody did promos for Angie back then. It was like a big deal to have a promo played on the radio.
But Big heard this beat?
They were on the radio one day, and they heard the beat playing because, you know, she'd run different promos from everybody, from Bone Thugs to you name it. And it was just a night that she had been playing it before, but, you know, she always does a different promo every show.
And she happened to play it when Puffin was up here, and they had never heard it. So we had done
Kicking the
Door.
Super
simple. And Biggie wanted one more. So I had given him another beat, but he was like, well, I'm going to work on this one. But when he heard that, he said, I want this one. You can scrap the other one. So I just brought the J. Rue reel and just brought it in there.
Just press mute. Mute on lead vocal
just
tracks.
Just hit mute.
Have you...
And J. Rue was like, yo, it's cool. He said, you know what, J. Rue was so dope? Because they were having that little tension, and he said, I told him that they wanted to buy it, and he goes, yo, it's hip-hop. Let it go. That was his answer. Yo, it's hip-hop.
Damn, that's dope. In spite of the fact that he seemed pretty not into the whole Puff situation at that point.
Yeah, no, that was a crazy episode.
Was there physical confrontations?
No, we hold our shit down.
You kept it.
I'm being honest, my crew hold it down.
Well, but you also had the relationship with Puff too, though. So did you ever have to,
was some back and forth words going on in the session and all that, but and I went by myself purposely to not make it look like, oh, I'm gonna bring my crew and
our crew is gonna clear. I said no, and from my team it said, yo, don't go alone, man. I was like, come on, man. If anything happens to me, then we take it from there. But what's gonna happen?
Yeah, I'm gonna go there and handle my business. And I went by myself. Business. And it was very heavily packed in that room that night. But
everybody, it's all up. What are they gonna do?
You know, it's a slump.
And one day was not about Big anyway.
It was about Puff.
He was mentioned.
I mean,
the song wasn't about just him.
No, yeah. but it does.
He was mentioned.
Primo slept on. Slept
you know, the, I think Foxy got the no. Jay Black got the worst part of it. You know what I'm saying?
I'm getting a wrap up sign here.
Yeah.
But like, we haven't mentioned this guy yet, so I got to hit this. Hold on. How do I do this? Oh, here we go.
R.I.P.
Lamont Coleman.
He's pretty good.
How well do you know Big L? Do you always know him well?
Yeah, from day one. I remember when Law Finesse told me, this kid I just met at Rockin' Wheels. See, you really need to go back to research, man.
Yes,
I know it's Rockin' Wheels. I was going to say it, but I just tried to say it fast.
And you came from Rockin'. That's what's so sad. You came from a gutter.
Yo, look
gutter
at
label.
You, man.
Look at you.
Look at you.
Yeah, but
I'm happy with myself.
But I knew him from day one. Yeah, you know, Finesse told me about him, and then Showbiz did Devil's Son, and he was like, "Yo, you got to hear this sick shit that Big L just did." And he played me the song, and looked they wouldn't put the record out.
All right, before we let you go,
play that for me.
I think I have this. You didn't have to give me this.
I don't think you have it.
You don't? All right, Syfe gave me a special request.
The thing that's special about the Big L album is
after he died, we put that album together. Like, he wasn't a part of any of... He was a part of course, because we used Big L's vocals. But we just salvaged what we could and just said, let's all get together and fix this thing and make it come out right. And we all was just like, man, I hope this thing... We don't be praying for gold and platinum, but we was like, if we could just get a gold plaque off of this and it went gold, we were so happy.
Oh, it was so... That was pretty cool.
We were so happy that it happened. And shout out to his mother, Pinky. God bless her soul. She was so happy, too.
Oh, my favorite song ever.
Yeah.
There's not ever a day that I don't see Fat Joe and I say, hey, yo, enough's enough. Fed aroused, try to set me up, and then he says the next line. It's like our secret handshake.
That's what me and John Schechter always do. He'll come in and go, you got to be down. You got to be down. And I'll go, if you want to be down, you got to be down. And we'll go, word, at the same time. Like, we'll jump in and start doing lines. Yeah, shout to Shecky Green.
When I used to work at Fat Beats.
Thanks to Shecky Green is why another reason why how I got turned on Royce.
That's the OG. Yeah.
Game Records?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nothing to do in us and Scary Movie.
This is my shit. You about to
hear. It's Red Alert, son.
DJ Red Alert.
I love you.
98.7 Kiss FM. Hey, Daddy, shut it off.
Where's this beat?
Dun, dun, dun.
Red Alert. Red Alert.
Fire. Hey, Primo, you're pretty good, man.
Thank you, brother.
Royce?
Yes, sir.
You're pretty good as well.
Thank you, sir.
And Adrian Young, I gotta say, pretty talented guy yourself.
Thank you, sir.
And I admire your hat.
Thanks, man.
You may be the first artist who came in here in a straight-up suit.
It's old school 70s.
I respect it, my dude. Nah, you're dope, man. I appreciate what you bring to the game.
Appreciate
guys,
it.
Congratulations on the Prime
thank
album.
Thank you, man. Thank appreciate you.
It. I know Syfe hasn't heard it yet, so on the next one, Epstein, I want a Syfe review.
Got you.
It is my recommendation so far. I mean, it is. I'm trying to think. Wait, it's still in. So it's coming out in 2014. So I would put this right here in the Schoolboy Q conversation, the Childish Gambino.
And he's on the album, too.
That's good company.
Bobby Shmurda.
That's good company.
No, Schoolboy Q is on the album.
Syfe, I was going to mention the Bobby Shmurda EP.
How do you feel about Bobby Shmurda?
I love Hot Boy. Hot Nigga. We can curse, right?
Yeah,
Hot Nigga.
What's his? He got another record, right? I like the Hot Nigga.
Bobby track. Bitch.
Bobby Bitch. I'm not that into Bobby Bitch, but I love Hot. I love Hot, and I love that when I'm in LA and I'm at a club and that song comes on, there's a fucking New York record that runs the club. That's really the main thing that makes me happy.
I like somebody like him being successful.
What? Just a young kid?
Yeah, just a young kid coming from and also doing a joint out of nowhere with no hook on it, because everybody up here probably would have told him to go somewhere and put a hook on it.
Yes, absolutely, myself included.
So I'm glad that he's successful, just so we
certified platinum, by the way. RIA certified
good
platinum
fam, what?
Good fam. Shout to Bobby Shmurda.
Platinum. And last question, DJ Premier, I've never heard your thoughts on DJ Mustard, who is clearly running the game.
Mustard's the homie, man. I met him when I was doing GGN with Snoop out in LA, and real down to earth brother. You know, he's got a sound that's running the clubs right now. And then we were at the Global Spin Awards, and when he got his award, he gave it to his uncle or whatever, because he said he's the one that taught him how to work equipment. And
yeah,
DJ.
He did.
I like when people are humble to do things like that. Yeah, our sounds are different, and I've got a lot of people going, yo, man, why you co-signing him and stuff like that? It's like, first of all,
I co-sign whoever the fuck I want.
Yeah,
number two, I don't have to do that style. Let him rock out, and I'm gonna keep doing the style I do. But
he's dope at what he does.
Here's the thing: you can't
he's
like
not in
something
the way.
Else.
He's
you're not allowed
way.
To like nobody else in hip hop.
Why can't you? You're not if allowed that's to not give, your style, the
you're
type
not allowed
of music
to
you
give
make, why can't you
props?
Like other
yeah, exactly.
I think Mustard's dope, guys. We thank you very much for taking the time
thanks
to do this.
Us. Thank you for having us, man.
You know, come on. We'll see you guys soon.
Yes,
sir.
So long and farewell. Good night and good luck, Syfe. Keep losing weight. Well, don't get skinny weird though. Get on the verge.
10 more pounds.
You still got to do weight.